Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, green dots where we're able. We do routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise, that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
WikiLeaks has just released a massive amount of documents called Vault 7, which detailed the CIA's capabilities to hack into, well, just about everything, and spy on, well, just about everyone. Some are saying that the documents may be more significant than the Edward Snowden leaks. Edward Snowden himself says that they look authentic. At this point, the CIA hasn't confirmed or denied that the documents are, in fact, theirs. So most mainstream media is saying that WikiLeaks claims to reveal how the CIA hacks televisions and phones all over the world. The Wall Street Journal says that they purport to show the CIA cyber hacking documents. But Edward Snowden says, what makes this look real? Program names and office names are real. He says only a cleared insider could know them. He says he's still looking through the documents, but so far he says they look authentic. So far, some of the biggest revelations are really just confirmation of what many of us have known for many years, that the CIA can remotely activate the microphones on cell phones, even when the phones are powered off again. This is something that many of us have known for over 10 years, for 12 years, really. This news had been circulating, and, you know, tech industry insiders have said, yeah, this is possible. But now we have what appear to be authentic CIA documents, which confirm that that is, in fact, in their hacking toolbox. Since smart televisions have microphones and cameras built into them, well, you can expect the CIA and the NSA and FBI, etc., to activate those microphones and cameras remotely as well, and that is also in the Vault 7 hacking toolbox. One of the more interesting revelations is that the CIA has stolen or adapted Russian malware and then uses that to hack into people's devices in order to leave the cyber footprints, the forensic evidence, pointing back to the Russians. Why would this be significant? Obviously, it may very well have been a patriotic insider like an Edward Snowden who hacked into John Podesta's emails or the DNC using these tools in order to point the finger at the Russians. One of the biggest bombshells, if not the biggest one, from these documents is that the CIA has tools that enable them apparently to hack into cars, into newer cars, remotely, and then crash them in order to cause assassinations that are virtually undetectable. Something that many of us have been reporting on for years. Back in 2013, I published this video after the death, the mysterious death of Michael Hastings, a Rolling Stone reporter who had many enemies within the deep state. where his car just mysteriously crashed, accelerated, and he died in a strange fiery crash. From 2013, people started looking into these possibilities. There were some industry insiders who were warning that this is definitely a very realistic threat. And now, thanks to WikiLeaks, we have the documents which appear to show that, in fact, was in the CIA's toolbox. I've been getting a lot of new subscribers over the last 6 months, or really over maybe the last year, and so many of you may not know that, aside from just posting videos and being a news analyst, I also am an author, so you can check out some of my books in paperback on Amazon.com. My 2011 book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, came out 2 years before Edward Snowden released his treasure trove of documents. And so almost everything that his documents cover and that these new Vault 7 documents cover, I had detailed in this book now 6 years ago. And it's certainly may seem old, but it's not old. There's still a lot of information in there that's not public knowledge or that's not widespread. And so I hope that you'll support my channel by going and checking out one of my books. You can get them in paperback on Amazon.com. Download them onto your tablet or your e-reading device. If you're new to my channel, give it a subscribe. Check back here every day for new reports. And I'll see you soon.
Fielding Milosh, the president of San Marcos, goes on trial tomorrow for fraud, inciting to riot, conspiracy to overthrow the government, and using the word thighs in mixed company.
Please rise. Court is now in session. Judge Seymour Watson presiding. The people versus Fielding Milosh.
I object, Your Honor. This trial is a travesty. It's a travesty of a mockery, of a sham, of a mockery, of a travesty, of two mockeries, of a sham. I move for a mistrial. Do you realize there's not a single homosexual on that jury?
Yes, there is.
Oh, really? Which one? Is it the big guy at the end?
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
I'm Mr. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow. Mr. Icicle, I'm Mr. Ten Below. Friends call me Snowizer. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch.
I'm too much.
He's Mr. White Christmas. He's Mr. Snow.
He's Mr. White Christmas. He's Mr. Snow.
That's right.
He's Mr. Icicle. He's Mr. Kendallow.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch.
Too much.
Too much.
Mr. Green Christmas, I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Heat Blister, I'm Mr. 101. They call me Heat Miser, whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
Too much.
Thank you.
going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html and go over and visit my friends over there at TCT Radio. There's also a chat room for TCT Radio on the superchat.html. So it's really cool. You can like talk to the TCT chat room, or you can scroll up and talk to the Wake Radio chat room, or the Shazoo's Mad Science chat room, or, you know, a threefer kind of deal there. So, with that said, I played a crazy intro. Of course, that's nothing new, I guess. I kind of play crazy intros all the time. So where do we start? There's so much to talk about, man. Let's see, what was first in line there? Heck, I can't even remember. Anyway, there was a Heat Miser and Mr. Winter song that I played on there. Guess that was from A Christmas Without Santa Claus. Either way, there's snow on the ground outside. And as far as I'm concerned, that's ridiculousness. Should be warm outside. I had a little buds on the tree, and the weather was nice out there, and the birds were flying around, and the next thing you know, BAM! Got hit with some snow. So it's that global warming thing coming back to get us, you know. Nipping, you know, Jack Frost old nipping everybody's ears and stuff. So anyway, yeah, that's a little bit of ridiculousness. And then we heard old Mark Dyson there talking about Vault 7, WikiLeaks releasing Vault 7 that basically said confirmed something we've known for a long time, that the government likes to use microphones from your own phone, TVs, and computers, and all that kind of stuff to eavesdrop on your conversation. They probably heard a lot of good conversations from us, either via Skype or, the Mad Science Show or the Knights of the Round Table. So that's why we always like to say hello out there to the NSA, the TSA, the FBI, and all the other CIAs and ABCs and DEFs and all that kind of stuff. So I hope you're enjoying the show while you're eavesdropping. That's what we do here. So, I got Thomas and Raymond on here. Hopefully they don't say the keywords and get us extra listeners, like bomb, terrorist, and gun, and all that kind of stuff, because then they zoom in on you, like, what'd you say, man? And I'm like, well, we need more listeners, so welcome to the show. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. So jump over there to the superchat.html where you too can enjoy the fun and the excitement and all the gizmos and nifty gadgets that we got going on and talking about and such. So we also want to try to continue over from yesterday's Mad Science Show because we had a really good conversation going on about that, about running engines on water and modern technology and old existing technology and such. So this ought to be a pretty interesting show, and it could bounce in all different directions, like a Super Bowl in an octagonal room or a hexagonal or a dodecahedron room or something like that. Plenty of black eyes to go around. And so what else did I play on there? Man, I played so much I can't even remember what I played. It was crazy. That's what it all was. And so, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Alright, so anyway, Thomas, you guys still there? Am I on my own today?
No.
They're there. So, you didn't hear none of the intro, you just figured you'd catch up later, right?
No, we sure do.
Alright, so anyway. Yeah, the world's gone mad. It's like, it's wacko, and this is why we can't get nothing done, man. See, the global warming freaks out there started a ruckus talking about how the planet was going to heat up, and we're all going to die and die of thirst, and we're going to have a drought, and earthquakes, and tsunamis, and tidal waves, and wars, and rumors of wars, and plagues, and famine, and pestilence, and Chicken Little was running amok with it. The sky is falling, we're all going to die. Meanwhile, the CIA, and the NSA, and the DEA, and the TSA, and the ABCs, and the DEFs are all running around out there spying on Granny's cell phone conversation and trying to figure out who's doing what and where and why and who they can bribe and sell and blackmail and extort and all that kind of stuff. And the government's been gone crazy. The Russians did hack, they didn't hack, they are going to hack, maybe thinking about hacking. North Korea's going to drop a bomb on somebody. They'll probably drop the bomb on themselves. I don't know if y'all ever been over there to Korea, but their Navy's nothing really to brag about. They got some of the old ships that we like got rid of back in the Vietnam and Korean War and stuff like that. And really old stuff, really tiny ships. And they don't really take them out to sea very often because they really can't afford the fuel on there unless somebody gives them some gas money. So they spend a lot of time on the ship. At least that's the way it was back in 1984. Maybe their economy is a little bit better than it was back then. And maybe now they get to go out and go on the Westpac tour or something like that. Visit Hong Kong, Robbie. Thailand, Singapore, Korea, Philippines, Japan. Go out in the South China Sea. Maybe even go across the equator and do the old shell back thing, whatever.
Sounds like superheroes.
Yeah, so... Stephen said, don't mention geoengineering, HARP, solar radiation, management, or dodecahedron. You will make us look like tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists. See, he's got a point there. When you say dodecahedron, you get a lot of people riled up, man. I know, well, I'm one.
Put my tinfoil hat away while we're doing the show.
Yeah, hide it, man.
Oh, man. I like it feeling comfortable when I wear it.
Well, yeah, and it keeps them brain waves come from space from the CIA and the NSA and the TEA and the ABC and the FEGs and the all them government agencies, the alphabet soup guys. It keeps them from irradiating your brain and giving you thoughts of grandeur or something.
I thought the ten goal was to draw in the radio waves so that you get smarter with all this information coming in, yeah?
That's possible, like an antenna, because remember back in the old days, we used to have to put like aluminum foil on our antenna to get the signal in better, and if you
have... Oh, I remember that.
Yeah! It worked, man.
That's what I thought. That's what I was wearing, my Ted Ball hat.
So I'm going
to keep the radio waves out. I wanted them to come in, make me smarter.
I'm going to shape my tinfoil hat like a cowboy hat, man, so I can look like Texan.
I thought that was the way it was supposed to look.
Huh?
I thought that's the way it was supposed to look.
Oh, you're shaped like a Texan cowboy hat?
Of course.
Cool.
And the shape?
Is it a 10-gallon or a 50-gallon? You know, like everything's bigger in Texas.
10-gallon.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good. That means you don't have a fat head if you only got a 10-gallon hat.
Oh, yeah. I've been accused of having a fat head since I pulled my 10-gallon, tinfoil hat out. Put it on to prove people I don't.
So anyway, the world's gone mad. You know, that's why we're trying to get things accomplished and we're trying to get things done, but you know, it's like a hindrance going on out there. People out there protesting, laying down in the streets, trying to block rush hour traffic, and people are getting upset, and they're getting, people laying in the street are getting dragged off by the police and hauled off to the pokey and all that kind of jazz. It's all a bunch of ridiculousness, man. You can't believe the mainstream media. Sometimes you can't believe the alternative media. Sometimes you can believe the alternative. Somebody got to grease that chair. Scree. It's going to drive me to drinking. Anyway, I had something intelligent to say, but it just like kind of went by the wayside. Flew south for the winter.
I don't know, man. It's probably a lie.
Well, could be. Might be one of those, like, fishing stories where every time you go fishing, the fish you caught was bigger than the one that you, you know, really reeled in and stuff. See, every time you tell the story, the fish gets bigger.
I'll tell you what, Old Sam, I can't prove that the fish I caught, how much it weighed, but I can tell you that the picture weighed 7 pounds.
Wow. That's a big picture, man.
No, that was a big fish.
Hmm. Well, I had to take a panorama to get my fish in the frame, man. And I caught him standing on one leg with one eye closed, with
you know
a heavy wind coming from the south.
You know what I'm waiting for?
What?
I'm waiting for someone to flip those "your mama's so fat" jokes around on those fish.
Oh wow, man!
I caught a fish so big. When I threw the hook at it, it just went into orbit, wrapped around him. He had his own gravitational field, man.
Your mama's so big, she sits around the room.
I caught a fish so big, it had its own zip code.
Man.
There you go, see?
Holy smokes. Its own zip code. Stephen Gibbons got a tinfoil beanie with a propeller. Now that's engineering. I like that one. You could fly south for the winter with a beanie like that. I'm serious. Ain't no laughing. Y'all better take it serious. Old King Shaziz the Terrible has spoken. Man, flying south for the winter.
Man.
And the winter ain't left. They said the global warming was coming. I'm waiting, man, because I need to put my mankini on. You know, running around drinking those little umbrella drinks and yahooing through the driveway and waving at the cars as they go by. What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, you guys are too easy to say yeah on that. Ain't happening. Anyway, So, you know, yesterday we were talking about why it is that we can't seem to get things accomplished out there as far as automobiles and stuff like that. We're standing in the year 2017 now, and we still driving around with Stone Age equipment in our vehicles. Well, you know, it's kind of high-tech.
Yeah, kind of a new.
According to, yeah, Flintstone stuff. According to that deal about WikiLeaks, the doggone hacking tools, they can not only blame it on Russia because they're Russian hacking tools that leave their footprint on there, but they can also, if they don't like you, they can crash your car, you know, hack into your car and send it off into a ditch or something like that, or some big old 40-foot ravine or something. Wouldn't that be a heck of a ride cruising along? Next thing you know, the CIA, the DEA, or the FFA, or the Future Farmers Association. Come on, you guys got to admit that was funny.
Yeah.
Man, the FFA.
FFA is the Future Farmers of America, not Association.
Oh, well, whatever it is, they're still one of the alphabets.
And there so, you go.
Don't mean they ain't going to hack into your tractor and run you off in the commode pond or something.
People who use, in fact, the government uses abbreviations of, in like the FFA and so forth.
Yeah.
I hate that because there's so many organizations out there that have the same initials, you know?
Yeah.
So if you don't know what somebody's talking about, you just spell off one of those initials, you can be anything, you know?
Yeah, so if you go to Franklin University, you don't want to abbreviate that when somebody asks you what college you went to. Oh, F you. What? I was just asking you what college you want to fight.
Somebody could wind up with a black hat from that one, couldn't they?
Yeah. So if you go to Franklin University, just tell them you went to Franklin University.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you're going to have a bare-knuckle, knock-down, drag-out of epic proportions creating a ruckus in the center of town over a misunderstanding. What we have here is a failure to communicate. What do you think?
Have here is a failure to come up with their own catchphrases.
I don't know, man. It's, I'm like, you ever seen those birds that talk? They'll say anything, man. I'm telling you, if you repeat it enough, they'll say it. And they'll probably say it at the most inopportune time. So, like... Hey, wake up. Visualize this. You got a mockingbird, right? And the cops come to your door because you had a loud party or something like that. And next thing you know, the mockingbird saying, "Hide the dope! Hide the dope!" Right?
Hide the dope, hide the dope.
Yeah. So you got to think through these things to make sure that these things aren't going to occur. See, that's the thing. You got to look ahead and pre-plan. It's like if they were going to do engineering on automobiles, they should have pre-planned for certain things out there. But it seems like the modern-day engine... If you're working on something, you can engineer it on the fly. Look, hey, man, you know, we need a vacuum over there, but we didn't put in it ahead of time this vacuum that we're going to need over there, so just stretch a hose over there. So the next thing you know, after about several hours of this, you got all these vacuum lines that look like a giant octopus hanging off the top of the modern-day engine, and so, you know, if one of those vacuum lines comes loose, who knows where it goes?
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yep.
You know, back in the old days, if you had like an old 57 Chevy or 65 Ford or something like that, you know, even up into the early 70s before they got all crazy on it, you could literally fix that car underneath the shade tree out back. Not anymore, man. There's the sensors buried down in there somewhere that you got to like take off half the motor to get to and all that craziness.
Yeah, you can thank me out of Coca for that.
Who?
Lee Iacocca, when he took over Chrysler Corporation,
yeah,
they were going up downhill bad, and the problem was the cars were so easy to fix, and there was so much competition, and car dealers selling cars, and they were selling for so low above their cost,
yeah,
they couldn't a living, so they were going bankrupt left and right. Lee Iacocca took over Chrysler, and he and the engineers deliberately designed the automobile so that the average Joe could not work on it.
Well, not to mention that, they're more like throwaway engines nowadays, and even the body's made out of plastic and cheap tin and aluminum and plexiglass and fiberglass and all that kind of jazz. So if you so much as lean up against that car, you'll put a dent in the side of it. And
Forty times more expensive than steel.
Yeah. And if you hit a chuck hole, you're liable to knock the fender off of it, and then you go to your insurance company to get it repaired, and they say they're all total. Everything's total. You get a scratch on your car, it's total.
Right.
Yeah. So that's...
Your mama's total.
Well...
You know, what you're talking about, all the electronics, the vacuum lines, and sensors, and stuff on the automobile today, it's almost impossible for the average Joe to actually work on one. And the thing is, you sneeze on it, and if you get too much snot in the carburetor, it's not going to run. It won't even crank up. But back when the time period you're talking about, and I've said it many times on this show and on that time, there's so many times I ran out of gas and I was starting to car up on something else, going to the drugstore and buying pouring alcohol. You can't do that.
Yeah, they used to make the engines good, man. They were durable. There's a lot of engines from the 50s that are still running. Heck, there's some prior to that are still running. You know, a little bit of cleaning and polishing, and they're like brand new, man. But nowadays, you get one nowadays, they just, unless they're built specifically for high performance for people that's going to spend money on this and do the upkeep and all that. They're trash. Now, I got to give credit to the Chinese and the Japanese because those folks know how to build an engine. Some of these high-tech engines that they got, like Honda makes some really good cars. Toyota and Nissan make some really good cars. You can drive these things up to 300,000, 400,000 miles and they're still running. It's a shame because back in the muscle car days, we had some really cool cars. We should be so much further advanced. Stephen Gibbons says, all data and communications for the UK and the USA have gone through Minwith Hill since 1945. The UK spies on the US and the USA spies on the UK, sharing all the data and circumventing any laws that protect citizens' privacy. See, now there's a loophole, man. Unwarranted data collection. There's a loophole. If we can get the British to spy on the Americans, and we can get the Americans to spy on the British, then there ain't no law that says you can't spy on another country, see?
Right.
So that's how they get around it. China did it, man. North Korea did it. Oh, man, what a world. Look, man. This world is upside down. It's like, makes my eyes crooked just trying to keep up with everything. Go out and read the news out there, and like you said, say it again about the whole being misinformed, reading the newspaper. Yeah, no? He who reads the newspaper, Raymond?
Oh, yeah. He who does not read the newspaper is uninformed. He who reads the newspaper is misinformed.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, what's the point, man? Why read it?
Exactly. I have not read a newspaper in over 30 years, and I have not watched television in over 25 years. Not the news on television, anyway.
Yeah.
The news comes on, I go take a bathroom break or fixing a cup of coffee or something. The hell with that. All it is a bunch of bull crap.
Alright, well, somebody was in there in the other room picking on a banjo and I could hear it on the radio show. So, where were we? Alright, so, let's see. We started off the show with a bunch of madness and we'll probably end it with a bunch of madness. Stephen Gibbons said the Russian hackers did it. Laugh out loud. Now, Them Russian hackers are pretty slick, man. So are the Chinese hackers. And the Canadian hackers, and the Australian hackers, and the European hackers, and some of the American hackers, and everybody's hacking everybody, everybody's spying on everybody, everybody creating a ruckus. Look, the doggone mainstream media and the government said we had a need to fix things in the world, and everybody's spending all their time in technology, playing video games, or surfing weird things on the web, or hacking each other. It's like a bunch of juveniles have taken over the planet. What do you think?
I think you're right.
Alright, so if we got carbon emissions problem, we got the solution. We know how to build engines properly. We know that the basic laws of physics and science say you don't go up into a grain bin and light up a match. Why is that? Because if you atomize anything, put it into a cloud or vaporizer or whatever, it'll ignite under low heat. You see what I mean?
Yep.
So that's a little bit of technology that you could use to engineer new and better and more efficient engines in the world that would be clean, burning, self-sufficient. Think about this for a second, man. There's a video that I posted yesterday where still haven't figured out whether it was Chinese or Japanese. I'm thinking it was Japanese writing on the side of that van. But nonetheless, they built a car that runs on water. And it uses a different process than what I've been talking about doing. It's kind of like the same thing, they use hydrogen, compressed hydrogen, to inject into the cylinder and then to burn that. And then the hot cylinder, then they inject water in there and they run the engine like a steam engine. Now, you know how hot an internal combustion engine gets. It's got to have a radiator to keep it cool, right?
Yep.
So what if you take away the radiator?
You know, your concept that you just said about using, splitting the water into hydrogen oxygen, using it to burn to get the cylinder hot, and then injecting water mist into it and run it like a steam engine. I brought that concept up on Mad Science 2 or 3 times 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So somebody out there was listening to the Mad Science Show and did it, and I am thrilled to death.
Well, I'm glad they did, and I'm glad that video made it out there, and I wish it would get a whole lot more views than what was on there, and I wish the average Joe would recognize the potential of what they're seeing there.
Right.
You know, guys like Stan Myers back in the 70s tried to address a problem that they said that we were like the Arab oil embargo is what they were calling it back during that time, I think it was. And they were talking about how we were having trouble getting fuel for our cars and all that. Even during the Arab oil embargo, people were still buying gas and people were still going, and everything was just business as usual, and people drove and went on vacations and stuff. Well, no, nothing going on different.
The thing is, the Arabs didn't come up with the idea themselves. The Americans gave it to them. By doing it, they created a false shortage of oil back in the late 50s.
Yeah.
The late 50s. And I know it was a farce, a lie, because I was out in the Chesapeake Bay with my father and my stepmother fishing, watching oil tankers loaded, 4 abreast. For as far as the human eye could see out to sea.
Yeah.
And yet there was a gasoline shortage, right? Cars were lined up 3-4 miles long at service stations. You could only get gas on odd or even days according to the last number in your license plate on your car. And I mean, their gasoline was burnt waiting in line at service stations than was actually burnt on the highway going somewhere.
Well, see, it would have been nice if you'd have had YouTube or Shaziz Radio back in them days. You could have put that information out there and say, look, y'all being scammed. Because that's essentially what it was.
Now, today, I would make videos. I would put it on YouTube and every other website I could get on.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. But then, a few years later, that's when you had the Arab embargo. I mean, Another little pack. OPEC, yes. Yes.
Well, then...
the oil barons of the United States that actually caused the OPEC and the Arabs to do what they did.
Then Stan Myers come out and started...
Have a low price point on gasoline right now, too, because of the exact opposite.
Yeah?
They were trying to drive the frackers out of business. And there's a number of reports where they were saying, we're going to lift our flood. And start with, and drop the amount of oil. We're sending it out back to normal levels so that the price is going to go back up.
So essentially, they just admitted to manipulating the market. Well, Stan Myers back in the 70s decided to address the problem. He's going to help everybody out, you know. So he designed the car to work off of water. It was on the news back then, you know. The news wasn't so, they showed things back in those days. But later on, lived to regret it because they didn't want to show things because their advertisers didn't want them showing certain things. I mean, if you're selling gas and you're advertising on the news, you don't want them talking about somebody who can drive a car around on water, right?
Right.
So they figured out they might not want to be telling everybody about free energy or water fuel technology or stuff like that. But back in those days, they actually had a news deal where they interviewed him and he showed them, look, it's running on water. All right. Well, he didn't fare so well. And a lot of the different people, and even the one in the video, the guy that invented that water car overseas, he didn't fare so well. So every time somebody tries to make some money off of it, you know, because you can imagine if you start an auto industry and you can prove that your car will run off of pure distilled water and you're trying to sell it, there's going to be folks out there up against you. It's either going to want to try to buy you out, blackmail you, or do you in order to ensure that they can still sell their oil. That's the kind of world we live in, guys. Am I wrong?
You're 100% right.
Well, that's why I keep on putting my plea out to the average Joe. You got to get in your machine shops and your wood shops, and you got to just build things and show your neighbors that it's possible. Look, this exists. All of this exists. All right? There's videos out there shows hydrogen engines. Matter of fact, Stephen Gibbs just posted a video in there to the Super Chat room. So if you guys are interested in what we're talking about, jump over there to superchat.html at shazizradio.com. Click on some of these videos and photos and links, and you can see for yourself what it is that we're talking about. But the technology's been around forever and a day to resolve the so-called energy crisis of the world. There never was an energy crisis. There was a manipulation of markets and people going to war over resources and stuff. And in my mind, it's pure ridiculousness to go to war with somebody over money or oil or resources when you got enough resources on your own land to do. It's just a matter of greed, man. There's no other way to say it. What do you think?
You're 100% right.
I mean,
it is ridiculous. Wouldn't we say yesterday that the actual diesel engine was not designed to burn diesel fuel? It was actually designed to burn coal dust?
Yeah.
Anything that is combustible, the more flammable it is, and it's a solid object, if you can create it in, or turn, grind it down into a dust, a powder, then it will run in a diesel engine. I mean, dried oak leaves that you rake up out of your front yard, grind them down, turn them to dust, run your diesel engine, run your generators, run your automobile, whatever.
If you go back and you look at some of the old coal-driven trains, and you see these things driving along, and you see this big, giant black plume coming up out of that thing, you know? Well, that probably wouldn't jive in today's society because once you see that big old black plume coming up out of there, it's like, you know, you're breathing that crud in, you know. And it's probably not a good idea to breathe that much crud in. But nonetheless, that technology was still good, and you could have taken and improved on that technology, got a better burn, clean burn, where you didn't even have no cloud coming up out of there.
You know, I'd like to expand just a little bit on this diesel engine thing. I mean, do you know how many thousands and thousands of acres of sweet corn are grown in the United States every year?
A lot. You know how much of it's wasted?
Corn that we feed animals, but they want to grow that and then take the corn itself, the kernels, crush them down, ferment them, turn them into starch and sugar, and make alcohol to run automobiles. Duh! Sweet corn is the stalk. When you pull the sweet corn off the ears, the stalk has more sugar in it than the corn. Why not pull the corn off, you eat it, then you put the stalk through a press the sugar and liquid out of it, turn that into alcohol. Then once you've got all the liquid out of the stalk, it's dry, grind it up, and run diesel engines off of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much energy just being thrown away. To me, I'm just like you. People say, there's no good thing in free energy. Come on, man. We're throwing it away by the billions of tons every year. We throw it away.
Do you know that there are... Somebody had showed me an article quite some time back. There are actual arrangements between governments to literally not harvest certain crops out there, if you they will actually pay you to not farm something.
Oh Lord, yeah, that's been around for 50 some years.
Yeah. Well, that to me seems like pure ridiculousness and manipulation of markets. You know, you don't want too much corn on the market because it could affect the money deal. Now, what I'd like to know is, where did that actual order come down from? Because I don't think it's like necessarily the government's business to get in the middle of business. If I'm a farmer and he's going to pay me not to harvest my crop because I might manipulate the market, you know, I got a big old huge crop and I put that out there. And of course, we know that scarcity makes the difference in the price of stuff. And so if there's a whole lot of corn out there on the market, then you obviously can't sell your corn for very much, right?
Right.
So who decides, you know, when to tell you, it will give you money not to put that on the market. See what I mean?
Yes.
But nonetheless, it confirms your statement about how if you can't find free energy, you're not looking for it because we're throwing tons of it away.
Tons.
Yeah, so where does all that go? It goes off in a ditch or a ravine or, you know, just gets wasted and nature takes it back or whatever. And it's a shame, man. Because all of that, you know, could have been utilized. I mean, you took the time and the effort and the fuel to grow something, then you ought to harvest the doggone stuff and help somebody out. I'm sure there's some people in some other countries that could use some of that corn. What do you think?
Yep.
So, how do you get the common sense across to everybody? See, if we took and utilized everything that we have available to us, we could have the perfect society, man. Wouldn't nobody have no reason to do without? Wouldn't be no homelessness or stories of starving babies in the world? You know? It's like, if you're going to do some space travel, what we need to start doing is start sending all the hateful people and the idiots to Mars or something like that and send them some gardening tools. Say, you know, you go over there and you guys have your hate party while we all over here getting along and fixing our planet. What do you think? Is that a good plan?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, send them a one-way trip ticket to Mars and... Y'all going to survive, you're going to have to do it together. When you learn how to get along, then maybe y'all can stop in and visit sometime. What do you think? Is that a plan?
Yeah. Kill all that rooster too and have chicken and dumplings.
Okay, let's see. Stephen Gibbs posted a deal in there. It says, Sources of Dust. Sources of Dust. 1878... Sterograph rendering of Great Mill Disaster, Mount Mulligan Mine Disaster in Australia, 1921. These cable drums were blown 50 feet Wow. 15 meters from their foundation following a coal dust explosion. Aftermath of a 2008 explosion at Imperial Sugar in Port Wentworth, Georgia, U.S., many common materials which are known to burn can generate a dust explosion, such as coal and sawdust. In addition, many otherwise mundane organic materials can also be dispersed into dangerous dust clouds, such as grain, flour, starch, sugar, powder, milk, cocoa, coffee, and pollen. Even pollen. That's what Thomas doesn't like, because he's got allergies. So if there's a pollen explosion, Thomas ain't going to be happy. Anyway, powdered metals such as aluminum, magnesium, and titanium can form explosive suspensions of air if finely divided. He's got a link to a Wikipedia article on dust explosions. So, it's even mentioned metal in there, man. Anything can burn if it's atomized enough. See what I mean?
Yep.
So, anyway.
So, there again, this proves my point. That we throw away billions of tons of fuel every day. I mean, you cut your grass, that's fuel. The leaves fall off the tree, it's fuel.
I think they sort of alluded to that in Back to the Future 2 or 3. I can't remember which one it was, but either way, the mad science guy, Doc Brown, he comes flying in, you know, and the guy says, well, don't we need some plutonium or something like that? And he said, no, man. They start digging in the trash, throwing it into the fuel tank. And put bananas in there and all kinds of trash, garbage right out of the trash, and that was the new fuel. But I think they kind of alluded to what we were saying in Hollywood. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like that. Oh, man.
And then he says, we don't have enough room. He said, roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
There you go. Yeah, I like that. Oh, Lord.
Anyway. I think that sometimes Hollywood likes to tell people things before they ever even get around, you know. And so, you know, that's one thing I liked about the old science fiction shows and things like Star Trek, The Next Generation, and Star Wars, and all these different deals showing possibilities of future technologies. You know, I always kind of wondered if maybe there wasn't some sort of outside force feeding just tiny bits of technology via movies to get people kind of used to seeing it so they wouldn't surprise when, you know, a UFO showed up.
You know, like the forever Buck Rogers of the 21st century comic books?
Yeah?
You know that we have today a lot of the technology they had in those comic books?
Comic
books 50 years old?
Dick Tracy used to talk to somebody on his watch. He had a watch with a little TV screen. He could talk to people on it.
Right. The antenna went up his arm, it's fast to his arm, under his sleeve.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And now look what we got. People walk around with cell phones, but you can actually see the person you're talking to.
Yeah. One of the things that really annoys me, though, is those little earbud things that they got. They stick inside their ear, and you'll walk through the store, and you'll see somebody standing there talking to themselves. At first, you might think they're talking to you and say, what? And you realize they ain't talking to you. They're talking to somebody on the phone.
Right.
It freaks me out, man. Who are you talking to, man? So, you know, and there was a time that if you stood in the store and talked to yourself like that, they'd send guys with white coats to pick you up and send you on. Yeah. So anyway, technology's there. I mean, we got all kinds of digital technology and stuff like that. That's why I like that one show that I did about I read down through the history of different technologies and stuff, and talked about how long it took the caveman to discover fire and tools and clothes. They didn't get the clothes till at the end, man. There's like thousands of years that passed before they finally put their clothes on. So pretty much they were running through the jungle butt naked with sharp objects before they finally realized that they could build a fire and wear some clothes. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
You think that's the way history really played out?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, who knows, man. We'll find out. I guess someday we'll find out. But nonetheless, Stephen Gibbs posted that in there, and it shows a bunch of different dust explosions, which proves our point about if you want to build an engine, you could actually build it to burn dust. You know, I talked about that flame licker motor, that engine, that basically the flame was on the outside, and it was just using the gas, the off-gassing of the gas, to run the engine. So that shows that vaporization would definitely, without a doubt, work. And if it's able to run off of that little bit of fuel that's coming off of the top of the flame, then that means you could actually get a heck of a lot more miles to the gallon on any engine if you re-engineered it to do the same thing. You see what I mean?
Right, right.
So, when you get out there and you start talking to the average auto mechanic and the educated college geek that went to engineering and computer-aided drafting and all that, and you start explaining to him how you could run a car on water, and his eyes roll back in his head, and he gets all kind of, almost like he's about to have a seizure or something. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's frustrating.
Huh? I've had a few of those.
Yeah.
I get talking to somebody about some of the inventions or some of the projects that I'm working on, and oh man, you know, they think they're educated, and so their eyes roll back, and you can tell they just instantly stop listening to you. They just think you're crazy. Oh Lord.
Well,
it's like that when you were like my age back in the years when the Buck Rogers comic books were out. Oh, you're dulling down your mind. You're dulling down your mind. There's no such thing as a gun that shoots a light that heats up and kills people. Blah, blah, this, that, another, blah, blah. Now we use lasers to cut steel 2 inches thick.
Yeah, they ought to talk to Thomas. Thomas has got a really cool laser, and if you actually break apart that laser and see what's actually going on there, and you got a light that'll start fires. See, that they said that stuff way back in the 50s. They had people running around with ray guns and stuff, you know?
Right.
Now, you actually see that.
Really, they call it ray guns. Now we just call it a laser.
Yeah.
It's the same. I've said it before. If you can think it, it can be done. It's just that simple. No matter how wild your idea is, if you can think it, it can be done. That simple.
Well,
they might put something else in the future, but I do believe one day they're going to have a warp engine.
Well, ain't no doubt in my mind. Matter of fact, I threw a couple little concept ideas, like a ion drive system. There's a little crude graphic of one on the chat room, not the chat room, but the podcast page for Mad Science. And essentially, you'd pick up your fuel on the way through. And the same thing could actually be done with the automobile, because there's hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, and who knows what else inside the atmosphere. So you could literally pick up your fuel on the way, you know, using things like dehumidifier technology. You know, you pick up moisture and such, temperature difference. You see what I mean?
Yep.
And so, that's another thing, too. If you design, like, half these engines to be almost like the flame licker, all right? So you're driving down the road, you got this hood scoop on your car. The guy in front of you, he's got one of the older models, and so you're literally pulling his exhaust fumes into your engine and running your engine.
Right.
Now, why wouldn't that be scientifically plausible? Think about it.
Why wouldn't it?
Anything that's got carbon in it's going to burn, right?
Make more sense than a ray gun.
Yeah, but they got ray guns.
Yep.
Yeah, they got cell towers that basically send out invisible rays that you can watch your TV on. Some of you might even be getting this radio show via a Wi-Fi network or something like that. So, either way, the technology does exist. It's about this. You just got to utilize it. If you have access to all this stuff right there and you rearrange the pieces of the puzzle and be a little creative, you might be surprised at what's actually possible in this world. And if people are really out there starving to death and we can't figure out a way to solve that right now, man, I watched commercials way back when I was a child about little babies sitting over in some third world nation that have flies buzzing around them and their bellies are all puffed up and they're hungry. And I'm asking myself, look, if these people are standing there filming this, and it's really happening, and they're not taking care of this baby, why would you put the camera down, set it on a tripod or something like that. Go over there and give that kid a sandwich. Something. Some water. Put some clothes on him. Now, but you see these throughout all the... I'm 51 years old. I've been seeing them back since I was a child. And you still see them today.
I'm 73 years old. I've been seeing them since I would say the first television sets, but within 5 or 6 years of the first television set, you would see advertising for people to give money and donate money to this organization or that organization. And, for example, like the March of Dimes, they call it the March of Dimes because less than one dime of every dollar contributed to the March of Dimes actually goes out to help somebody.
Well, that's a shame, man.
I mean, I read an article one time that gave all the, not all, but the largest of the supposedly contributing organizations that do good, feed the hungry children of the world, this, that, and other, whatever, and they told what the CEOs of these companies made in salaries per year, and they were up in the tens and hundreds of millions of dollars a year. But then they also told the ones that were actually doing good. Like, for example, the Salvation Army, the CEO, his salary is $26,000 a year. We're talking $500 a week here. The CEO of an organization as large as the Salvation Army makes $500 a week. Come on, man. I mean, he's got a lot of responsibility here. But yet these other ones, I mean, like $350 million a year for a charitable organization, for the salary of a CEO, that is ridiculous.
Well, let me ask you a question. How many of these doggone celebrities that are always out there advertising Save the Babies around the world do you think have run themselves into the poorhouse trying to solve this problem?
The worst one I've ever seen in all my life. They hired Sally Struthers and paid her for all the commercials she did about feeding the hungry children, because she's got a whiny voice and she can beg and whimper like a little puppy can all get up to help the children. Holding a starving baby in her arms, begging people with tears in her eyes, oh, you please, it's less than a cup of coffee a day. And then that night she sat down eating a ribeye steak. Come on, man. And a baked potato the size of a basketball.
That's what I'm saying, man. If you're gonna sit there and you see something going on like that, and you're gonna live high on the hog in some mansion on the hill, and try to make everybody, all the working Joes out there, feel bad, but yet you got hundreds, if not millions, of dollars available to you, and you're not over there trying to resolve that, there's got to be a special place in that place called HE Double Hockey Stick for people like that, man.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm telling you what, honestly. And you can take this to the bank. If I was filthy, stinking rich and had the capabilities, I'd be probably poor within a week because I'd go out there and I'd find these people. You see what I mean? Why is Thomas calling again? Is Thomas not in here?
No, he stepped outside for a minute.
No, his account just called me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. He might be on his phone. His phone gets internet.
Oh, well, he's trying to call. All right, so maybe that's what he's trying to do, get in on the show there. Let me see if I can add him. That's crazy. Add the group call.
There he is.
see if he's there. Thomas, are you there?
Thomas, is that answer? Yeah, he's there. There
he is. There we go.
Are you on your phone? All right, so anyway, yeah, I thought that was kind of weird because Thomas started calling and I thought he was already in the call.
He stepped outside so he didn't cross over.
All right, so anyway, you know, all these people out there who are filthy, stinking rich and complaining about people out there in the world starving to death, you know, like I said, if I was rich, I'd be broke within a week because I'd go out there and find these people and I'd be using the money to, you know, make sure they got what they needed. You know, I couldn't, literally, I couldn't set up in a mansion knowing that somebody else was doing without, you know. Granted, my house right now ain't no mud hut, you know, but the way the circumstances are played out right now, if you think the average American lives high on the hog and everything's all hunky-dory, you know, it's not, because it's expensive for electricity, it's expensive for taxes, it's expensive to drive around, you gotta have a car to get a job these days unless you got somebody willing to haul you around, then you're at the mercy of whoever else has got something. And so, you know, with that said, it's not easy being American, all right? Even in the middle class or the lower class or whatever class you're talking about. Some people just have no class, period.
There you go.
Nonetheless, you know, that's why these technologies that we talk about, like building different engines that'll run and, you know, you can imagine if all you had to do is get some water poured into your engine and drive to work, then that would make it easier for somebody else to be able to financially afford. You know, I send more money to charities that are trustworthy. I don't know if there are any charities that are trustworthy. I mean, come on.
The two most trustworthy groups are the Veterans Administration and the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
The Veterans Administration, the CEO, you know his salary is? Zero.
Well, that's if he's going to have... If he's going to be a volunteer, or if people out there is going to be volunteering, that's an honorable deal, man. At least they're not hypocrites. You know, like I said, we got the technology right now to resolve a lot of issues that would give the average Joe access to extra funds that they wouldn't have to, you know, pay to the man or whatever. If you had your own power company and you could take a couple hundred dollars a month extra there, you could go out and do a lot of good with that kind of money. Am I wrong?
Not a lot of good.
You know, a couple extra $100 a month for me would mean that I'd have a lot of research tools and materials to make things that would be improvements for society.
You know, of all the so-called do-gooder groups and corporations and, well, whatever's out there, Red Cross, Martin Dimes, UNICEF, Feed the Hungry Children of the World, blah, blah, blah. If 100% of all the money donated to these groups was used for what it was donated for, there would be no hunger. There would be no homeless in the entire world. It's unbelievable how much money is just donated and just flat, just, I mean, blatantly stolen. I mean, it makes me sick to my stomach just even think about it.
Yeah. And you got governments out there that, you know, always telling the people, yeah, we got problems, but hold on a second. Didn't we hire the government to represent us and resolve problems?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the majority of the average American people, or even the people of any country for that matter, wants to go over there and bomb somebody and create more problems. We'd actually kind of like to resolve problems with the resources necessary. You know, I sound kind of like a communist or a socialist or something like that with the ideology that I'm saying out here about, you know, how everybody should be equal and have things. You know, I'm not opposed to people working for a living and actually striving to become wealthy or anything like that. But in the same sense, don't be a hypocrite about it. you know, if you're going to be filthy, stinking rich, superstar watching, you know, people watching your movies and paying you millions of dollars, and then you're going to come out there and show me a starving baby and ask me for money, man, you should run yourself into the poorhouse to solve that problem. Is that too much to ask?
Nope.
Seriously, you got guys like Bill Gates out there talking about depopulating the world. He said, well, you know, if we do a good job with vaccines and stuff, we could get the world population under control. Vaccines and birth control. Something ain't right about that. You're talking something like eugenics going on there, you know? And you got all access to all them millions of dollars, billions of dollars in his case, and you can't take and solve something out there? Sure, he got foundations that does charitable work, but what's the percentage of all these guys' income that actually even goes to doing anything beneficial for mankind?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How many billions of people are there on this earth?
Supposedly 9 billion people.
All right, now, next question. How many trillions of acres of unused land are on this earth?
A lot.
Then how could we possibly be overpopulated?
Well, the way I look at it like this, man, this planet could sustain 9 times the population we got right now.
Easily.
When it gets down to the point where nature's out of balance, nature will balance itself out. There'll be a new disease or a mosquito or a bug that'll come in there and clean house. That's what nature's been doing since the planet was put together. You know? This earth is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. And for people to be so, what's the word I'm looking at, where you think highly of yourself, really highly of yourself? What's the word?
What now?
What's the word for if you think so highly of yourself? Arrogant, yeah. Matter of fact, it's on the top of the chat room up there. It's on the website. It says, nature needs no improvement. Only the arrogance of man requires change. See, Simply Steve wrote that. But the thing about it is, there ain't not one chemical that we've ever created that we put on this planet that nature can't deteriorate. You know, we think that we're all powerful and stuff like that, but in reality, we can make a heck of a mess, we can blow up bombs, and we can tear things down and cause people sickness and all that kind of stuff. And nature will clean it all up. We'll be gone. There's a good series out there, 500 years after man, you can't even tell man was even around. You know?
You're right.
So, we need to get over that arrogance, and we need to start working in harmony with nature, and we need to start understanding. If you watch what nature does, you see how nature works, and you can literally purify your water, you can build engines and still enjoy the luxury of a motor vehicle and drive around without polluting the land and stuff. You know, if you design them properly and take care with what types of oils and lubricants you use, that you're not going to, you know, pollute rivers and streams and stuff like that. You know,
well, think just a minute. You drive down the highway and you're looking, and most people, because they see it every day, don't notice it. But the grass from the edge of the highway, 15 to 20 feet out, it's just a green and lush, almost knee-deep.
Yep.
But yet, you reach a certain distance, and all of a sudden everything is dry and brown.
Yeah.
Why? Because of all the wasted gas that goes through your engine that you're not burning, is in the air, and it settles by the time it gets 15 or 20 feet away from the highway, and that gas is so minute, there are nematodes in the earth that eat gasoline. They eat crude oil. They eat everything is biodegradable.
Yep.
Just because you change your oil in your car and you take that oil and you pour it along your fifth line, now it kills the grass. You can do the same thing with fertilizer. Just go to the store, buy some fertilizer, and just pour it out on the ground right there on your fifth line, and trust me, it will kill the grass. But 2 years later, when it's diluted, the grass is going to come back with a vengeance and do the same thing with motor oil.
Yeah.
So the EPA doesn't catch you and punish you for pouring used motor oil on your fence line, Mother Nature will.
Yeah. Do you know...
eat two or three times as much 2 years from now.
Do you know that the majority of all accidents that are involving rain happen within the first minute or so of a rain?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why that is?
No.
Because when it very first starts to rain, unless it's a gully washer, if it's been dry out for a while and cars have been driving up and down the road, leaking like a sieve, once you mix that water, it just starts misting right before it starts pouring down or something. Like once that water hits that oil and basically produces a slick on the street. So the most dangerous time to be driving is right at the beginning of any rainstorm.
Yes, because rain, water is heavier than oil. It goes down into the pool of the concrete, and the oil floats to the surface. Yes, yep. You're right.
So, with that said, we could literally engineer engines that would barely even need oil. We got the technology out there available to us to make things that are mind-blowing. I mean, there's materials that don't even need oil. There's actually a plastic engine that was designed that didn't make it out there mainstream, but I did see the article that it was made of a self-lubricating high-temp plastic that they actually built an engine out of. And they showed it. You could run this thing without no oil because it's self-lubricating. And as long as the temperature don't get up to a certain degree, then it won't get mushy and it won't start tearing itself apart. And so... because that plastic is heat insulated, it didn't transfer heat well enough to be able to cause the friction, which actually caused it to tear itself apart. We got that technology. And if you did want any oil in there, you could put just a tiny little film in there, just enough to do the lubrication. And so that means you could literally build sealed engines and bearings and stuff that wouldn't destroy themselves. That would probably last forever. The only thing that ever breaks down a bearing or engine part is friction. When you get the friction and the temperature up to a certain degree, then it causes the material to get soft, and when it gets soft, it starts to eat into itself. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So this engine technology that I'm talking about, using basically just directly distilled water as fuel, it's not science fiction. It's science fact. You can do it. And you can actually use the water as the coolant, as the lubricant. What do you think?
Yeah.
You guys are playing...
in the office next door.
You guys are playing around with your videos and stuff. I'm watching you. There's like a couple of juveniles going on over here. Folks, this is what I got to contend with.
73 years old, and I still act like a kid.
Yeah. 73-year-old, man, act your age, not your shoe size, Thomas. All right, look. Like I said, we got all the answers to the basically utilize the technology available to us in order to make things better. Are you serious? You know how distracting that is? For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, Thomas just kicked on his video and stuck his huge-looking tongue out at me. Man, I called up the meat market one time, Wild Woody's Meat Market, and I said, do you sell cow's tongue? All right, well, no, I said, do you have a cow's tongue? And the butcher said, yes, I do. And I said, I bet you could lick a lot of stamps with that sucker. He didn't find it as amusing as you did. Yeah, and about a couple weeks later, I called the same people back, and it took me like 3 or 4 times to get through to make this prank phone call finally go through. But Finally, I get one of the butchers on there, and I said, do you got pig's feet? He said, yes, I do. I said, do you got hog snout? He said, yes, I do. I said, do you got cow's tongue? He said, yes, I do. I said, I bet you look like heck, mister.
You scare a hungry dog off a meat wagon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was a little wild in my youth. I came up with some crazy things to say. So, anyway, you know, if we got these problems in the world and they need to be addressed, that's why I'm putting a holler out to all the people out there. The average Joe listening in on this show, you are the solution, flat out. You ain't going to get it through government, you ain't going to get it through corporations or major companies, because the bottom line is the bottom line, no matter whether you're talking about the government or you're talking about the corporations or any business out that for matter. The bottom line's what counts. Businesses are businesses. They stay in business because they make money and they can afford to pay people to do things. And so if it's going to eat into their business, such as the power company or the oil companies out there, and you're going to try to get them to build an engine that runs on water, what do you think they're going to do? Any guy, you guys have got any idea what you think their decision might be? Under those circumstances, what are they going to choose?
I have no idea.
They're going to choose not to build the engine that runs on water because they're trying to sell oil.
Either that, or they're going to try to control it and limit it some way.
Well, you know, if I was like...
That's it right there. They will basically put something on every car. They'll make it a law that every car has to have one to be on the highway.
Yeah.
And a signal to let a police officer know that you're on the highway. They'll be able to turn your car on and off, and they'll be able to tell exactly how many miles you drive, and then they'll charge you by the mile of the drive. Yes.
See? I've
seen that happen.
Yep. Well, wouldn't you think that that'd be the best reason why not to ask for permission or not to even tell them you're doing it? Just do it?
Well, you know, really, if they wouldn't be so dang gone greedy, okay, attack you for every mile you drive, yes. Look, who's building the highway? You got to have money to build the highway, the bridges and so forth. So, rightfully, if you're going to drive on the road, then you need to pay a tax for the mileage that you drive. I understand it.
But because people won't fix the highway themselves. They're so used to somebody else wiping their butt for them, right. They're not going to stop.
Well, the people aren't going to get out there and build their own cars that runs on water either.
Right.
So somebody's going to have to build cars and sell it to these people.
Yep.
Somebody's going to get out there and build the highways and bridges. Somebody's going to have to maintain these bridges and highways. Somebody's going to have to maintain these water-powered cars. I agree with the tax, but not to the point that you're sucking every dime out of everybody's pocket four times a year.
Yeah.
Come on. Right now, every penny in the United States goes through the federal government's hands 4.5 times a year.
Yeah.
Because this tax, that tax, this tax, that tax. I mean, come on.
Well,
man.
Have you guys ever heard the terminology street legal?
Yes, sir.
You know that has to do with racing, right?
Right.
All right, well, the average hot rodder back in the day, they didn't ask the government whether or not they were going to put a set of headers on their car. They just did it, man.
Right.
And maybe once in a while they get pulled over for excessive noise and get a ticket, but nonetheless, they didn't take their headers off their car, did they? No. They found ways to literally, if you ever want to take a good example from people, go out there and find the street racers. They know how to take these cars and get the highest performance out of them. They know how to take these cars and get the best fuel mileage out of them. They know how to get the best bang for their buck. But they're not asking the government for permission because the government already said, no, you can't do that. You can't have a high performance engine on the car because you might be street racing. You know, public safety, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Did it stop them from doing it?
No.
That's right. And that's the whole key, man.
It's only illegal if you get caught.
Huh?
It's only illegal if you get caught.
Well, yeah. So build it. Build it, show your neighbor that it'll work. Look, I'm running my car on water. And they said it couldn't be done. But look, I'm doing it. And When you pass the gas station while your next door neighbor's sitting at the gas station and he's spending $50 for fuel per day or whatever, and you just drive right on by and wave at him with a big smile on your face, and finally he catches up with you at the snack bar, and what's the deal, man? You never stop at the gas station anymore. So I don't need to. My car's all electric, or my car's running on water. You know? Yeah. Well, I didn't know you could do that. That's because you didn't pay attention in school.
Hey, there's two types of neighbors, though.
Yeah?
Some that are close to the middle will fall into a category where people will basically say, oh, they're the third best, but actually, there's only two. One is going to be like, how can I do that? I need to do that myself. The other is going to be like, well, I'm going to call somebody on him. I'm going to make sure
I'm going to turn him in.
Well, those are the ones you got to watch out for.
He ain't happy, so he's going to make you unhappy.
Right.
Well, look, if you move into a homeowners association, you got to expect there's going to be a lot of people like that. Don't right. move into a homeowners association. Don't move into a gated community. I mean, if you're in fear for your safety and you're too lazy to mow your own grass, move into a gated community or a homeowners association. But once the people in that deal start complaining about you, then you'll realize what it was like when you complained about somebody else.
Right.
That's the way it works. See, that's the thing about freedom. People, they don't realize that when you're out there calling the man on your neighbor, you're actually taking away from your own freedom, because eventually what comes around goes around, and that same law that you're utilizing to get your neighbor into trouble, they're going to turn around and get you back with it.
Invariably, in the future, it will turn around, come back, and bite you in the posterior.
Yep. So the best thing to do is let your government do what the government does, let your neighbor do what the neighbor does, and as long as the two don't collide and nobody gets hurt and they're running their car on water and helping the environment out, then don't be complaining about it.
Hey, you're saying that like there are people out there that are so anal retentive that they won't let their grass grow, so therefore they'll never get into trouble for it?
Yeah.
That's not true. There are people out there like that. So, yes, there are people who will never get bitten by a law that they support, but what they don't realize is they're supporting bigger government, which eventually means that a law that they can't conform to or don't want to conform to will get made.
Yeah.
And then they will be bitten by that same government. You keep feeding the dog and making it bigger and meaner, eventually it's going to turn on you.
Well, in the...
Everybody.
In the homeowners association, everything's all like uniform. The same color house, same type of roofing, same type of siding, same height of grass, and all that. Ain't no room for uniqueness in a homeowners association. But if you like that kind of lifestyle and you don't mind keeping up with the Joneses and making sure that yours looks just like theirs and everything's all uniform and pretty and all that, just remember you're going to have to keep your work up and... you know, you might have to pay somebody to do something.
And it's going to get expensive. Let's together and start our own homeowners association, except the trick is no two homes can be alike.
Well, that'd be cool. Can I have...
You got to pick your own thing. You got to be like everybody else and be different.
Can I have a redneck flower pot in my front yard?
If no one else... Well, okay, a single item does not count. But if you cover your whole yard with redneck flower pots, then no one else can do it. If you're first, you get to do it, and no one else can. They got to find something else that they can do.
Cool.
You want to fill their yard full of tire art? Fine, just it can't be flower pots, because you already have that.
You know what a redneck flower pot is, don't you?
It's a tire that you cut open on the sides and set it up and fill it full of dirt, right?
Oh, no, I'm talking about the luxury edition, the commode that has the potting soil and the big sunflower stuff.
I've seen that before. I think that's cool, man. I might leave one figured out here.
That's not a toilet. That's a flower pot. You see a big old sunflower sticking out of there? Man. Look, I like creativity.
I want to take crap and make it fertilizer.
There you go.
But either way, man, That's what you got to do. You got to just build it. Don't ask for permission. Just build it. That's how we're going to get things done. You know, get your local mad scientist and your welder and your plumber and your electrician together. Build inventor groups and start inventing things. Go out and find things in your community. Huh?
Network.
Yeah, network. Network with each other. Go out and find things in your community. Go ask your mayor and your local town council, what kind of problems do we have in this town that need to be addressed that we as a group can get together and resolve? Man, you'd be surprised how much you could get done. And you'd probably be appreciated because, you know, the mayor and them had this problem, you know, that they couldn't resolve, and they was telling them it might take thousands of dollars to fix it, so it never gets done. And then a group of inventors come by and they say, look, you know, we can resolve this with a few bucks and a little bit of labor. And they do it. See, that's how it gets done, man. With all this other ridiculousness out there, and government spying on the citizens, and countries spying on each other, and arguments going on, and people laying down in the road during rush hour traffic. I mean, you try that in China and see what happens.
So here's what you got. You got a small town, you created the vision of the town, that its sole purpose is to generate revenue without taxation. It doesn't matter if they're throwing bake sales or whatever, but all the money they earn basically goes to keeping up the town.
Yeah. And so they're tax exempt because they're doing something to benefit the whole community. You know?
No, if they do it right, they could end up cutting out all the taxes. Nobody has to pay taxes. Anybody can volunteer to pitch in on it.
Well, I like that even better, and I bet I got a lot of neighbors that like that.
Or take advantage of the services that they're providing, whether they're selling, making cupcakes and so on, or they're mowing lawns or whatever. Hey, wait a minute.
The point is, we could literally resolve every solution out there if people were willing to really do it, you know? They really want to put their minds to it. There ain't no problem out there that we can't resolve. So, when it comes down to alternative energy, clean, renewable, green energy, whatever terminology you want to attach to it, free energy, I say on Mad Science all the time, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it, because we're surrounded in it. But nonetheless, if you hadn't paid attention to basic science or mechanics or physics, and you'll never take it any farther than going over there and turning the light switch on where somebody else is sending you power and charging you for it. Now, as a community, we could start building generators for each other that are self-sufficient and efficient, that would work perfect harmony with nature, and even might even be able to please those folks out there that's constantly complaining. Well, you know, those doggone windmills are eyesore. Those solar panels, they don't look good, you know, or whatever. We got artists out there that could design these into the landscape. You'd never even know they were there. Look at this. The Army has camouflage. Think about that for a second. They not only got one version of camouflage, depending on what terrain they're in, they got several versions of camouflage that literally a military could be like right out there in the field. You wouldn't even know they were there unless you were looking hard enough. So, why couldn't you camouflage your doggone solar panels? You see what I mean?
Have
to blend right in with the landscape. You wouldn't even know they were there. Nobody'd have any reason to complain about it unless they just knew they were there and it bothered them because, he's getting free electricity and I'm not. That makes me mad. His cake's bigger than mine. Doggone it. Here, you take the big piece of cake and I'll take the small one and we'll get along. I don't care. I'm not greedy. You know, that's the kind of mentality you got to get going on. And you got to do it worldwide. You got to figure out a way, you know, to, you know, keep the peace and still have everybody satisfied. I'm sure there's going to be in every single crowd, there's always going to be somebody you just can't make happy. Well, build a rocket ship, put them in it, send them to Mars, tell them to go over there with all their craziness and... We're all going to get along. Come back whenever you get rid of that attitude, mister. Or missus. Is that wrong? shipping everybody off the planet? Man.
That would be a good idea.
Well, you know, it just don't make no sense. You go out and bomb somebody in the Stone Age while hollering about global warming and hollering about save the children. That don't make no sense. Tell me where that even remotely makes sense. Look, I don't like these guys over there because I perceive them to be terrorists, so we need to go over there and shoot a bunch of people. And if we accidentally whack a few in the process, hey, you know, that's their problem. That's collateral damage. Shouldn't have been standing there where that drone come flying in. Now, right. If that was your family, you would understand why that a new terrorist is born every day. Because if somebody comes over and bombs my children into the next dimension, I'm going to be a little upset. I'm going to be a lot upset. I'm going to get rowdy. Be a bunch of bare knuckles fist fighting, kung fu and gunfire going on. That's what. I look, I know I sound like a madman, but that's all right. Because if I'm a madman speaking common sense and you ain't paying attention and somebody mops you into the Stone Age, don't say I didn't tell you.
Now, you know what? The real problem is with the people who decide that they want to be violent because they've been done wrong. The real problem is the people that are just waiting for someone to come along angry and take advantage of it.
Somebody from the Knights of the Round Table is trying to call in. Looks like Muddy. You want to add him to the call?
You guys. Damn, Muddy knows better than to use that. Just call you.
Alright, hold on. Let me just, like, add him in here. Add people to this call. See, this is like, that's why I need you guys' help, because, like, it's hard for live TV, for your live radio, for you to, like, scroll down through a whole long list of friends, because I got a couple friends, man. And so while I'm looking for Muddy's name on there,
I got it.
Add to call. There he is, Muddy. Muddy Mudman. Make sure you know you're live and all that. So he'll come on here foul mouthing. Yeah, I think he's in there, but I don't know yet. See if you guys can add him. All right, so anyway, we got options available to us. And that's why I'm hollering out there to the average Joe, asking for your assistance to start doing like Thomas has been saying for how many ever years we've been doing this, to network. That's the key, network. Somebody have to add him because the call failed because he didn't pick up. He's probably still trying to call from the Knights room.
I thought that's where we are, the Knights of the Round Table, right?
Well, we're on the Knights of the Round Table, but we're...
No, yeah, we're not in the Knights of the Round Table on Skype.
Just hang up on me and make a new call. Drag him in.
I got it.
All right.
He hasn't answered yet, but I got it.
Yeah. And for all those folks out there that have the unfortunate misfortune of having to listen to Raymond's squeaky chair, he said he ain't going to fix it until I show up.
You can get like a little Tupperware container or something to put it in.
What are you guys doing?
Trying to fill my salt shaker.
Can't you fill your salt shaker off air?
I can just leave the mic.
Now, there you go. You know how bad that is for radio? Salt shaker, squeaky chairs.
Hit your mic to keep from making noise, and all of a sudden he's like, where is everybody? Don't everybody jump to the microphone. Somebody skip a tooth.
Oh, man. What a world we live in. See, we can't, even us geniuses can't get along, man.
Just remember, every princess out there is nothing more than an ogre in a dress.
Wow. I ain't wearing no dress.
Make them mad one time and you'll find out real quick just how much of an ogre's hiding under that dress.
Hey.
If you ever decided to put on a dress, make it back from colonial days when they touch the ground, Because as skinny as you are, your legs would scare the hell out of me.
Well, you don't ever have to worry about that, brother. All right, let me try to add Muddy again. Doggone it. Muddy, pick up the doggone phone this time. Man, we're live. You're killing me. Let's try this again. Do-do-do-do. Add Muddy. Add to call. Now pick it up this time, boy. What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Right.
All right. He's either listening in or he ain't. And they already ain't paying attention to the deal. Somebody said
that maybe somebody's butt dialing you.
Well, send him a text on Skype and say, pick up the phone, man. I'm trying to add you to the call. Time to look around. Anyway, call failed again. Well, I don't know. Maybe got angry and thought we didn't care and walked away. We tried. Tried but was denied. Rejected. Alright, so, anyway. We can't seem to get Muddy on there, so we got a failure to communicate. But, you know, nonetheless, there's still, like I said, there's tons of options out there. Common sense. That's what we need. Common sense. We need to make some shirts, guys. It says common sense on them. There you go. There's a fundraiser for us.
Yeah.
We know how to silk screen. We can make a silk screen. We could print out our shirts and sell them to raise funds to do more research. How's that sound? Let me ask people in the chat room. How many in the chat room would support Shaziz Radio by purchasing one of our shirts that said Common Sense Rules the Day or something like that? Matter of fact, post your idea that relates to Common Sense and Mad Science and Knights of the Round Table and see what idea that comes up that's best. What do you think?
It's a great idea. I really do.
Then we can raise some funds and help people out and help researchers that need materials and stuff. See, that's the biggest deal. When you're out there doing research, it's not cheap sometimes. Sometimes it's, more than your budget can handle or whatever. I'm not sure Barry wanted in or not. I better look over there tonight at the round table and see who wanted in. I'll try to add Muddy one last time, but then I'm giving up.
Get those shirts. I want
two. Cool. Add people to this call. Barry said he's looking for coffee. Must be a coffee drought. Okay, I added Muddy to the call again. If he don't pick up this time, if you snooze, you lose.
Well, I've already tried to get him in the call three times.
Well, he tried to call from the night.
He's either changing machines. He's either changing machines because he can't use the one he's got, or it was on his phone and somebody butt dialed it.
Man, I had somebody butt dial me on the cell phone one time. I thought they were in trouble. All I heard was a bunch of noise banging around. I thought somebody's calling for help, you know. But it turned out they were out working.
Well, at least you didn't hear him talking any smack about you.
Yeah, well, if they would have, I'd have, did the triangulation thing and went over and said, you know what? If you're going to butt dial somebody, at least don't talk smack about them. Oh, man. All right, let's say we take a music break, get our act together, ask everybody who wants in to jump in, and come back and finish off the Knights of the Round Table. I'm losing track of what show we're on. What do you think?
Knights of the Mad Science?
Yeah, Knights of the Mad Science.
There you go.
Yeah, we're kind of combining both of them today.
The Mad Round Table?
But does that sound like a plan?
Yeah.
Throw a couple tunes up in there, get some coffee, refresh, re-Skype, and... I hope people heard in the comment section down there. Post your ideas for a T-shirt we can use for a fundraiser to support Shaziz Radio. See, we're not going to ask like people for donations unless we're going to give them something. That's fair, right?
There you go. There you go. I agree with that.
So let's do that. All right, we're going to take a. Hey, I think Stephen Gibbons posted a picture in there, said, offended you with my common sense. There you go. I'm sorry if I offended you with my common sense. Man, I like that. It looks like somebody else has already got it, so we don't want to steal somebody else's idea. We have to, like, rearrange it or something. All right, folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Roundtable at www.shazizradio.com. Jump over there to the TCT chat room, throw a smiley face in there, and tell Patty Walking Turtle and all the crew over there that we said hi and we love them.
it's the end of time. And the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Because when them old boys raised on shotguns, we say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
He, Shazam's the turtle. All rise for King Shazam the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Alrighty, and we're back, and Stephen Gibbons posted in a couple more t-shirt ideas. The first one he put in there was, "I'm sorry if I offended you with my common sense." That's a good one. And he's got, "Common sense is like deodorant. The people who need it most never use it." Dang. And then he's got Common Sense University. That's what we need, Common Sense University. All right, School of Mad Science. Speaking of the School of Mad Science, if you haven't attended the University of Mad Science, go there, take the test. If you pass the test, print out your diploma, and you can tell everybody you're a mad scientist because you got a sheepskin, a diploma, a piece of paper. Yeah.
Talking about common sense, I mean, there's a lot of questions that that are out there that people use as jokes or to test somebody's common sense.
Yeah.
One of them never understood the proper answer, supposedly proper answer to, is that if you see, you're walking down a hall, you see water coming out from underneath the bathroom door. You open the door and you see that somebody has left the faucet running in the tub. What do you do first? You reach in and pull the plug, and you turn the water off.
Well,
which would you do?
I'd probably do both at the same time because I'd be in panic mode.
Well, that would be kind of difficult to do.
Yeah, one arm reaches down, the other one reaches...
But when you bend over that far to reach the plug and to turn the thing off, you're using both hands so you have nothing to balance yourself with, you fall in.
Maybe, so, but, dude, I look like...
In reality, it is one of them, one of the two.
Dude, I look like...
The correct answer is you pull the plug because the drain is designed to let the water out faster than the faucet poured in. However, I've never understood that because the displacement of your arm going down in the water will push more water out than the faucet put that in.
Yeah, but see,
and the liquid tap would take the turn the faucets off.
But
so
see,
that one just drives me crazy.
Sure, but in my defense, I look like Clyde from the movie Every Which Way But Loose. I got long, lanky, stringy arms where I look like one of them orangutans. I could reach them both, man.
And he says he's not related to monkeys.
Well, I say I look like one. I didn't say I am one. I ain't no monkey.
Stick man with drawing cartoons.
Yeah. Somebody once told me if I turn sideways and stick my tongue out, I'd look like a zipper.
If you were naked and stood sideways in the sun, yes, you would. I'm the one that's told you that.
That's
you shot
it.
Like a zipper.
That's it. Off with his head.
Only man I know, the only man I've ever known in my dick on life that could stand under a clothesline during a hailstorm and not get wet.
Man. All right, well, either way, I still think I could pull the plug and turn the water off at the same time. Because I'd be in panic mode. I probably would fall in, though, because that's Murphy's Law kicking in. And Murphy's Law seems to follow me around, man. So, with that said, don't follow me. And if you want to win when you go to a casino, gamble on whatever it is that I do not. All right? And you'll do just fine.
My favorite.
Your favorite what?
My favorite game at the casino is the craps table. And I play it every time. It's the only thing I play when I go to the casino. I never lose and I never gamble. I know exactly what I'm doing. And I don't gamble. I invest.
Well, you keep your loaded dice home, man, because if they catch you. Alright, so anyway, back to something serious here. If there is anything serious here, we've heard a lot of shenanigans and a lot of ruckuses. If you think that you might be interested in purchasing a shirt from either Knights of the Round Table or Mad Science, because it could do a twofer kind of thing. It could actually help promote the website and help to raise some funds for people to do research. Because, see, I wouldn't be opposed to if I knew a researcher was out there working on an alternative energy project or something like that, or any kind of, you know, community project. We could send them some money if we had some money available to send them. What do you think? Yeah? No?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And then they get something for what they, you know, helped out. And they get to help us out by, you know, promoting the show or something like that.
Get your mama a wooden leg.
Why do you want to give my mama a wooden leg? She got both her legs. What's she going to do with it? I'll tell you what she's going to do. What's she going to clock you with it?
The thing is, what we do...
She told me she needed to clop you with.
All right, wait a minute. What we do, we need some financial help. We don't want donations.
Yeah.
But we want to help people that want to help us. So what we do is we find an item that a lot of people want that's got a little pricey to it. We buy a bunch of them. This is what I do all the time. I buy more than I need. Therefore, I get a heck of a discount. And then I sell off the excess for a normal price or a little bit below normal. But we could do the same thing. These t-shirts that normally people sell a t-shirt for $15-$20, if we buy a couple of hundred, about 500 or 600 of them, or even 1,000, we could get them cheap enough that we could sell them for $10 or $12. Our listeners would be getting a heck of a deal, showing that they're supporting, you know, the Mad Science and Knights of the Round Table, and get it for a better price.
Cool. As long as there's fairness involved, I'm happy about it. So, we got a Mad Scientist store link at the top.
Use.
Huh?
We get them something they can actually use.
Yeah. So, if you're listening in and want to jump in on that, just like, tell us what you want us to put in the Mad Scientist store. We'll set it up. That way you can help promote and just help support
the people. If you want the same type of item, then we can help, because we can buy a large quantity, and therefore they're not stuck with 200 t-shirts. You can just buy one or two.
Yeah.
And we get it to them for $4 or $5 less than they can buy it anywhere else.
Sounds like a good plan to me. See, we actually came up with a solution there. So, anyway, back on the motor portion of the deal, I got a design out there that I've been trying to find somebody who wanted to be using the milling machine and stuff like that, and I kind of got an alternative idea to actually be able to prove the concept in order so that I could show those individuals with the talent that, yo, look, this is really possible. So, I'm in search of an old-style diesel engine that they used to use on RCs and stuff. Because of the way they don't even, these are the ones that I'm talking about, they don't even have to have the, you know, the deals that used to have to heat up the glow plug?
Yeah.
Yeah, these don't have glow plugs in them. They use compression ignition only to get these things running. And so, with that said, if I get one of those old style deals there and get me one of them $30 induction coils, and modify that engine using that, and I can actually prove the concept that I was talking about. See, the video that I posted on the Mad Science Show showed a van that was running off of hydrogen and steam technology. Essentially, they used compressed hydrogen to burn in the cylinder, and then from that point on, the hot cylinder, they would inject water mist in there and produce steam pressure that would actually run the engine like a steam engine. And so that's technology that's already out there and hasn't really made it mainstream market yet, but it's still technology that's out there. Sometimes the best stuff is going back into the old stuff and looking how they used to do it back in the old days to find out what type of engines are out there, what type of technology was available. The plasma reactor that I keep talking about, based off of the mercury arc rectifier from the late 1800s. And if they'd have knew back then what I know now that they could have done with that technology, well, we might not even be having this conversation right now. Right now, the doggone nuclear power industry uses highly radioactive rods to boil water. So they're using slightly modern technology with old, ancient technology, and wondering why it is that every so often they end up with a problem. Well, common sense again. That's why we need the shirts that say Mad Science or Knights of the Round Table. We're talking common sense. Do you got any to share or whatever?
You know, right. That's good. I like that.
You know, when you got a big shirt that says something like that on there, it's a conversation piece. Where'd you get that shirt? That's kind of cool, you know? Well, it's not as cool as the common sense that you get when you go over there and listen to the radio show. You know?
Just
Share us on your social media networks out there. We need to get on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or any of those. Tell them about the Mad Science Show. Tell them about what we're talking about over here. Send them over to TCT Radio and all the other different affiliated networks. We don't care if you get the information here. Just get it somewhere. Fill your brain with a bunch of knowledge. And they say knowledge is power. And if the world needs people that are resolving problems, and there are solutions available, because like my friend Steve said, we're sitting here with the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. We got the cool tools. We can actually utilize these things and work together and network in our communities and resolve the issues of today. What you guys talking about over there?
Aerogel. Yeah, we were talking about quantity to get a cheaper price so that it's still cheaper than buying individual stuff to the common consumer, but we're making a little profit off it because we bought so much of it, and the excess money can basically be used to help out. There's a company selling, it's $1.5 million, but you get 500,000 square feet of aerogel insulation. It's hydrophobic mat. So it's got basically the highest insulated value you can possibly get out of any insulation.
Yeah, you can put this, it's a quarter of an inch thick, and you can put it on a piece of steam pipe that's 1,200 degrees, let it sit there for 30 minutes, you can reach over and grab it with your hand and not even feel the heat.
Man, Stephen Givens sent me a deal on the Skype there of a t-shirt, and it says Shaziz Radio, but I can't see what it says in the side. It won't let me click on it. Ed, burn it. Yeah, he'll hear that message. It's got a delay. Oh, there it is. But I can't. Let me zoom in on it. Where is the zoom button? There. Talk, guys.
Huh. Did you hear us?
No. Oh, there's a zoom button. Okay. It says Shaziz Radio ideas to
by now.
I'm
not like
to
say
ideas to good, they make your common sense doggone it. Here, I'm gonna send this link to you guys. See if you can read it.
Hold on, let me see. We're on right now. Hey, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. What are you guys doing, man?
He's trying to talk me into buying some of this aerogel, and I want to, but I don't want to do it right now. I don't want to interrupt the show.
Oh, okay. Ideas so good they make your common sense tingle. Cool. I like that. I'm going to have to save that. And then I'll send it over to you guys.
Stop the show.
Man! We're live, you guys.
I know. That's what we're talking about. I keep telling them, I won't do the show. And when the show's over, we'll buy some of the aerogel.
All right, cool. Okay, I saved this document. I'm going to see if I can find it and then send it over to you. It's a picture of Stephen Givens of the t-shirt that he just went out there and designed. You guys are going to drive me to drinking. Do-do-do-do-do. Alright, so, now that y'all are distracted.
Yeah.
What the heck is all that doggone noise?
Shit.
Ah! You're killing me!
You hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. So did the whole world.
daggone microphone in the world.
I guess. I barely heard him.
He right here, it didn't even hard to hear me.
Huh.
Sorry about that, folks. I don't usually do that.
All right, so anyway, I can't find the picture. I'll have to find it later and share it with you.
He just drew a knife on me and told me to cut it out.
I didn't draw a knife on him. I just opened it up and was going to hand it to him so he could cut it out.
All right, can we get back to solutions and ideas? So.
No, I ain't got no ideas. Buddy's got all those, and he ain't on here.
All right, well, we got distracted. So, anyway, basically what I've been trying to get across to the world and trying to get everybody to come together to the table. That's the point, man. We could redesign the internal combustion engine to literally run on pure distilled water. That sounds like a farce. That sounds like a fantasy. It sounds like science fiction, but it's science fact. Alright? Now, I just managed to send that picture into the Skype for you guys to see. It's Stephen Gibbons made a picture for the t-shirt idea. Are you guys still there?
No, we're not.
This is terrible for radio, man. I'm going to break out a bottle of whiskey.
Look at it, man.
I'm going to break out a bottle of whiskey, man. All right, Stephen said, it says, Shaziz, idea is so good they make your common sense tingle. Radio. I like that. Pretty cool, man. All right. So I'll buy one of the shirts just so I can pitch in. You guys got the technology to basically make a silk screen or 3D printed iron on?
Not that big, but I know somebody that does silk screen and he does a really good job and very cheap.
Well, let's make up a batch and I'll pitch in and we'll get these things together and then we'll advertise it on there and see if we can get some folks that want to, you know, that kind of stuff.
Now, the guy makes his own silk screens and everything, too. Otherwise, I should say he makes his own, he burns his own images. He goes and buys the screens and then he puts the stuff on it and he's got the light and everything to basically burn it and wash it out and everything in the dark room.
Cool. Very simple.
One of these days, I do one with the Tesla for my Tesla bill, too.
Oh, I like that Tesla bill. You should send a link to show people that. Anyway, Barry said, common sense can save the world, and I agree. So, basically, we got to spread common sense like the plague. Can we make a common sense bomb?
Bomb!
Well, we got the NSA again. All right, somebody add Barry in there. Can you guys do that, or do I need to do that? Huh. Man. One of these days.
Hey, I could waste time telling you I could do it, or I could just go ahead and do it.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Hi, Barry. How's it going?
Good. Just getting my coffee in here. I wasn't going to talk until I get a coffee.
Cool.
Kicked the rain into gear, but how you doing?
Well, these guys, we're live, by the way. These guys have been trying to create a ruckus, squeaking chairs and fighting amongst each other, and I don't know, man. Yeah, you need to sort them out, Barry.
Something's in the air.
I believe it. We need
probably maybe a little bit of aluminum, maybe a little bit of mercury, a little bit of beryllium.
What we need to do is make a common sense spray and run around and spray it all over the place, man.
We need to make a magnetic system that we could point at these chemtrails, and when they're spraying them in the skies, we could instantly suck them out of there.
That'd be cool.
Stop this madness over our head. How's that for an idea?
Well, that's a great idea.
A pointed magnetic ray that, as these planes are spraying, the minute it comes out of the back of the plane, it disappears.
Well, you know, they
have
say...
We have a collection tank on the ground, and then we can take all the stuff that we collect, and we can go down to the town hall and display it.
They say that's a conspiracy, that they don't do geoengineering, but if you go out there on the web and you Google up weather modifications, you'll find that there are websites and companies that advertise that they have a 180 miles or 160 mile radius that they can actually mess around with the weather.
Well,
you can pay them to do it.
Well, there's patents in place for chemtrailing and for geoengineering programs. There's 147 patents in place. So tell me it's not going on, guys.
Well, I agree.
You got to have your head in the sand if you don't know they're spraying us and killing us.
And Stephen,
it's part of their agenda.
Stephen Gibbons said that Thomas and Raymond aren't trying to create a ruckus. They've done it.
Anybody in this room sitting in California right now?
No, I'm not. I'm over here in the snow.
Well, I'll tell you, anybody that's in California, I would get the heck out of that basin right now.
Why? What's going on in California?
Well, I'll share this with you guys real quick. I've been lucky enough to hook up with a gentleman that is one of the frontline engineers at the Oroville Dam. He's one of the guys that's actually calling the shots down there. They brought in 147 more pieces of equipment in the last 3 days. It's all hands on. They are in panic mode right now, because they're just starting to see the starts of the snow melt, and the amount of rain that's going to come up, the amount of water that's going to come out of the Sierra Nevadas in the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, is probably going to overwhelm them. His words exactly. So if you're in the California basin, I would really start paying attention closely to what's going on up there. I know most people are aware of it, but if you're in that valley, I would be watching it 24/7 right now. His words to me exactly were, I don't expect this dam to last, was his words to me.
Well, with that said, let me ask, and since we're on the subject of common sense, what in tarnation would put it in somebody's mind that it'd be a good idea to build a dam above the city?
Well, why would you want to build a dam anyway? Dam building should be a thing that should be barbaric, man. I mean, how many dams in the United States of America? I think there's 4,900 dams in the U.S., I believe, or... I think that's the number. I was looking at it the other day. I mean, it's inevitable that if you dam a river, eventually the river will take it back.
Well, yeah.
I don't care how big a dam you build and how strong it is, eventually that river will reclaim its original track or make another track through that dam. And it's insanity. But now we're going to see what happens when Oroville, if it does collapse, maybe people start waking up to the fact that we don't need to dam rivers to produce power.
Well, I agree.
And make lakes for yachts.
Well, either way, why would you build a city
in below a dam?
Yeah, below a dam, on a floodplain. What if something went wrong, man?
Yeah. Well, why would you build nuclear power plants on top of fault lines?
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that one next.
What is common sense? Common sense doesn't exist in our world, buddy. Nothing they do makes common sense.
Well,
it does.
It does on the Knights of the Round Table. We have common sense, and we're actually going to try to make a shirt that says something about common sense on there. And now Stephen Gibbs posted a really cool looking idea designed on there about common sense. And so maybe we can help benefit
the
show.
Cool. Well, I'll buy a couple. There you go.
All right. We'll put like www.shazizradio.com on the back and... common sense starts here or whatever. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Anyway, we've told people about all kinds of different ideas. We have there's knowledge in chemistry. There's all kinds of exotic materials out there. There's the techniques from old engine designs to new engine designs to literally design the perfect internal combustion engine. Now, I've heard people say, well, why don't you just get away from internal combustion engines all along? The problem is, folks, if you fly in from outer space and you got this high super technology, and then you go down there and you go to your local auto parts store and you ask the guy, you got a part for a 2000 a spaceship or whatever, and he's going to look at you all cross-eyed and he ain't going to understand the technology. So the average Joe out there, when we talk about all the possibilities, such as like the plasma reactor design, you know, you got to get into all the details where the average Joe could understand it. And then to try to blend that in with existing technology, we already got tons and tons of internal combustion engines out there. We can just show them how to make them better so that they ain't polluting in the meantime. Keep working towards the future. Better, more, newer, advanced technology. I mean, it's out there. Some of which is probably sitting on a shelf somewhere in some government agency or some corporation that just doesn't want to put it out there yet because, like I said, if you're selling oil, you don't want somebody telling you you can run your car on water. See what I mean?
Well, whatever we're going to do with whatever we're going to do, we better do it quickly and find an answer for nuclear problems. That's, I think, is our biggest cry going to be in the very near future here, folks. That's what I think. I think we need to think about ways that we can solve nuclear power and the problems it's creating on this planet.
Yeah.
The boy, I'll tell you, I've been looking into Fukushima here in the last week. I'm talking with people in Australia and New Zealand about it, people that are really close to what is going on there. And Fukushima, guys, is beyond scary. It's beyond anything I can even begin to wrap my mind around right now. So it is.
Yeah.
The potential for that right now is to wipe out life on this planet. And that's a scary, scary statement, but it's true.
Well, they should. They should have paid attention to nature, like Stephen said. Dam building should be left to the experts, the beavers. You know, they know what to do.
See, I would like to get in touch with Mr. Oppenheimer and ask him what he was thinking when he created nuclear fusion.
Well, he probably thought that maybe they were going to use it responsibly or something like that, but nonetheless...
Nope. Wrong. They built it to make weapons, man. And then they gave us nuclear power plants, and they designed them to run at such a temperature that they'll create weapons-grade plutonium. You know, it was sold to the public as the new energy source. That's not true at all. It was brought to the public to create weapons-grade plutonium under the guise of a new power generating system.
Well, you see that?
And look at the problem. Look at the problems we're having right now with nuclear power, folks. It's unbelievable. It just boggles my mind.
That's the
and
craziness.
We're only, what, 70 years into it, Jesus.
That's the craziness of it all. Because every good idea, the very first thing they think about is how can we weaponize it?
Weaponize it? Yeah. Well, how can we make money off it?
Yeah, hydrogen technology, man. Look what happened to the Hindenburg. They use that as a reason why not to use hydrogen. Well, it worked with helium. It still works with helium. They got helium blimps that go all over the place, man. So common sense wasn't around during that time. You know, you got a hydrogen blimp, and then back in those days, I'm sure there was some guy with a cigar that wanted to smoke while he was riding the hydrogen blimp around, and it didn't fare so well. So, am I saying that's what caused the Hindenburg to blow up? No, I don't know the actual history of what it... I saw a documentary sometime, but I can't remember. But nonetheless, you don't use an implosive gas while you're trying to fly around. Yeah, unless you got one heck of a parachute and a fire extinguisher. Anyway, the technology is available. We could actually clean up the Fukushima mess if we really wanted to, but you know, it's governments. You know, everybody's waiting. When's the government going to clean that mess up, Barry?
The government will never clean it up, Shaziz. And if we don't get people involved in stopping this problem outside of government, then we are really, really going a dark path right now.
Well,
Fukushima blows my mind. It really does. That they, what's going on over there, Shaziz, I mean, I don't know if you're following it, but it's basically to a point where they don't have answers. They don't know what to do, and it's just getting worse and worse. Number two reactor right now, the amount of radiation that's being contained inside that reactor building right now, is really having an effect on the structure, of course, and now the potential for that thing actually collapsing is very real, and if it collapses, you're going to have a lot of unspent fuel rods that are going to get involved in the reaction of probably one of the biggest nuclear explosions the world would ever see. Basically, buddy, it's unbelievable, Shaziz, that we're living right now. We're living like on a ticking time bomb that could go off tomorrow, could go off today, could go off next week, and when it goes off, the human race is really going to wake up quick.
If they utilize the same technology that they utilize in order to control the reaction originally, they could literally resolve the issue there's certain materials out there that will grab up the isotopes and slow the reaction down. Now, to completely stop the reaction, no, but it will slow it down. And we already know how they use for cooling. So if some people with some common sense come rolling up into the mix and they'll say, well, look, you use this particular material right here to grab up the radioactive isotopes. They're called control rods. So common sense would dictate that if that's going to slow down the raising of the temperature, and that if you add a cooling system into the mix, we could build a big old moat around this thing, and we could start using technology that a lot of people don't like, but fracking technology has the capability of actually going sideways up under the ground to get to that, so that you don't have to drive a drone up in there, and start injecting this material into there to counteract the radiation being released, and to at least slow it down long enough to get this thing under control. And with the moat around there, where we knew this moat was deep enough that none of this water could actually spill over into the ocean, we can control that as well. Stephen Gibbs posted in there, control rods are used in nuclear reactors to control the fission rate of uranium and plutonium. They are composed of chemical elements such as boron, silver, indium, and cadmium that are capable of absorbing many neutrons without themselves fissioning. And cadmium, we got a lot of cadmium. There's tons of nickel cadmium batteries out there. We could like salvage if we had to, you know, and use a lot of these different chemicals that we have access to. We can get a hold of silver and a lot of these different materials that he just listed on there, and actually put a solution out there on the table. You see what I'm saying?
So we need to gather the chemicals out of the air that they're spraying and just inject them into the nuclear power sites.
Well, that sounds
like a pretty good idea.
There you go, man. But until people actually come down to the common sense way of thinking, look, one time they had a news broadcast that came out that said 10 control rods fell down into the center of a nuclear reactor. I can't remember what state it was in. But the people in the chat room were in panic mode. Oh my God, this is terrible. We're going to have another Fukushima or Three Mile Island or Chernobyl or whatever, you know. And I'm sitting here looking at these folks' comments inside there, which is getting worse and worse by the minute, the panic stricken and all that. And I'm saying, hold on a second. Do you even know what a control rod is and what it does? They keep these control rods hanging above the reactor with an electromagnet. And they're specifically designed so that if the power for some reason goes down, it will instantaneously drop the control rods down into the center of the reactor in order to reduce the reaction going on. So essentially all you have with 10 control rods that fell off into the reactor is a less efficient reactor. You basically turn down the volume. Now, when you got people out there spreading that kind of information, getting everybody in panic mode, that kind of overshadows what we could have been doing all along to try to resolve the issue that was going on over this other mess that they call Fukushima. Meanwhile, back at the Rancho, Snively Whiplash and BP is dumping corrosive down in the ocean that disperses oil and causes it to do whatever, fall to the bottom of the ocean. But they didn't realize that, hey, wait a second, maybe fish have oil in them. Maybe starfish and plankton have oil in them. Maybe the world is a carbon-based organism and has a lot of oil in it, too. So what is going to be the long-term effects? Now, they didn't care. They just want to hide it, out of sight, out of mind. But in the process, created a nasty mess. And from what I understand, they're still doing it today. But common sense would dictate that if you would listen to a bunch of people, because there were thousands of people coming together with all kinds of ideas, one of them including putting hemp out there to absorb the oil. And hay and straw, natural things, you know, and being able to round up the oil, because we know the oil floats on water. You could literally put a gate around this mess and pump it out as fast as it's coming in. You know, get it to shore and put it in the refineries and filter it out and utilize it or whatever. But no, No, their answer was, for the big wigs out there, we'll just put this invisible ink on there and just disappear it. You know, nobody will see it. Out of sight, out of mind. Jellyfishes started washing up, and starfishes started washing up on the shore that were turned into mush. People was all dumbfounded. What's going on? Fish were going belly up because of the water temperature difference off of the coast of Fukushima, because the temperature difference, anybody who's ever had a fish tank knows that even whether you got saltwater fish or freshwater fish, they're temperature sensitive. The ocean is a certain temperature. And so if you got a hot stream of water going in there disrupting that temperature, when a fish swims up in there, it's like scalding him, and bam, he keels over. He's not used to that temperature. Imagine being...
Patty Walking Turtle wants to come in for the last 20 minutes. Can you drag her in?
Yeah, we can do that.
But thank you.
You sit there and listen to these people out there, and they don't understand the basic science of what we're trying to explain to them. You know, and it's aggravating because we got every single answer to every single problem in this world that could be a resolution to resolve all these issues, including the mess at Fukushima. Look, I'm no rocket scientist. If I can sit here and figure out that during the time whenever they run reactors normally, you use control rods to control the radioactive isotopes being released by the radioactive rods being used, then you should be able to use that too to try to control the situation at hand. You see what I'm saying? And if this is a problem as big as what we've been told, you would think the governments of the world would come together en masse and try to resolve this issue quick, because once the ocean dies off, guess what? It's like a chain reaction. The first domino tips and it comes back to you. You see what
well,
I mean?
Well, this is going on. Why aren't they addressing it? Just because they have the technology and they know what's going on. And they're not doing anything about it. So why is that? Why are the governments, why is the mainstream media completely ignoring the most important thing that we should all be talking about right now, every day at our dinner tables? Good morning, Patty.
Hi, Patty. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I can hear you. I made it, but you know what? They tricked me because I got up, I thought, early enough, and then I realized that we had daylight savings time.
Yeah.
They snuck it in on me.
Well, you guys know how when you go to a ball game, you can get a whole bunch of average Joes to do this thing that they call the wave?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here at Shazia's Radio. We're trying to get the whole world to do a wave, like a, hey, common sense wave. Everybody, you start it off, right? And then it goes on and it keeps rolling, and it goes through TCT radio, and then it goes over to No Borders and People to People and all the different, you know, Revolution Radio and all them. I mean, this wave just kind of goes through all the alternative media and saying, look, we got answers. And we get these answers out there on the table. We get the average Joes to take up the slack where the doggone governments can't seem to get their act together. Because we're all living in the same boat, right? And so if Barry's over on that side poking a hole in things, and I'm over here trying to patch a hole, I gotta go over there and patch the hole he just poked in there. Meanwhile, Barry's heading back to the other side. You see what I mean?
Well, you know, even though I'm dead set against vaccines, I think we should be manufacturing a common sense vaccine and giving it to everybody on the planet.
Well, that would be good.
Because, yeah, wouldn't that, you know, mandated. You guys have got to take this because you really got to kind of open your minds and get this thing in your brain called common sense, because you sure don't have it now.
Yeah, and I don't think it's possible to overdose on common sense, so. What do you think, Patty? Is that possible?
Well, I think that the controllers have already figured out an anti-common sense vaccine.
Yeah.
So we need to just get rid of the controllers.
That'd be a good idea. But see, yeah. It's going to have to be the average Joe that finally decides to heck with it. You know, look, right now we can't necessarily collapse the system that we're working in because everybody's all attached to it. It's like they get drug over the edge with it, you know. So I'm saying, let's build a network right alongside the system over there. Ignore that system and try to do damage control on the way by, but build a better system for the people, of the people, by the people, and so on, that literally uses common sense as the guidance system. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that's the only way. Well, there is another way, but the whole world isn't going to come together and do the right thing at the right time. But what you're talking about is a more feasible way to do that if we can get people together, if we can get communities together. We need to do an outreach so that we can get these people interested in actually building benefit for themselves and their community. You know, this isn't something that people don't want. This is something that people really desire in their lives. They don't want to have to put their whole life into working for some other company, creating money and profit for them while they have to pay the taxes in a hope that their paycheck will pay the rent. You know, this is not the life that we're supposed to be living. And because of this type of corporate control that we're under, we have no options to create and innovate and put into the marketplace. It's not going to happen because the thing is about money, money, money. Yep. So if we can start creating these communities where people can realize the fact that, hey, we really don't need money. We can find ways to get this done and be able to do that in different areas. And it doesn't all have to be on the same premise of say, well, we want to create free energy, so that's what our community is about. You can have a community for free energy. You can have a community for agriculture. You can have a community for health, you know,
yep.
Wholesome living. All of these communities can work then with each other, sharing information, sharing knowledge, sharing their processes, their ideas, all of this. And pretty soon, we have a community that is so large that we can stand on our own outside
right.
of the system.
I agree. There was a system in place a long time ago before money ever even came around where basically you'd call like the barter system where if I had some corn and you needed some corn and you had something that I needed, we just swap, you know? And there ain't no reason why we couldn't do something similar to that with technology or whatever. You know, you need something fixed at your house, you know, I'll come over and fix that and maybe you can fix something in mine. See what I mean?
Right. Right, or you know, even the most precious thing that we have, being human beings as we are, is knowledge and the ability to apply that knowledge. I mean, we have the ability to learn whatever we choose to learn. There's nothing stopping us. The universe is open to us in all those aspects. So we have one of the richest resources on this planet in our brains, you know?
You know what?
Sharing that will complete the whole circle to where there won't be anybody who cannot. You know, the Bible said, I'm paraphrasing, and it says, you know, you give a man a fish and he'll eat for the day. Teach him to fish and he'll eat for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I know I'm paraphrasing. I probably butchered that, but I think you know the verse I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's
that
true.
Needs to be applied.
You know, Stephen Gibbons, I'll tell you what, you know, of all the people that come in there, he's one of the most brilliant individuals out there. He just typed in there, the reservation would be an ideal space to start such a project as they are already outside of the Western system. Even though they got hindrance from the outside while they're trying to, you know, keep a hold of their heritage, I think that's brilliant because a lot of the things that the elders of those communities, they got knowledge that people done forgot about. Now imagine you go in there and you help them make their life better, you know. We all do this together. We show them all different ideas that we've got and they choose what they need that would benefit them and, you know, just start that. you know, some of these Amish communities out there, they just amaze me because they basically live outside the system. And if you think about things, how would you keep your food cool during the entire year with no electricity? Well, they've over generations figured out ways to build all kinds of technology that some of the vast wealth of knowledge in some of these communities like this would be, you know, just spectacular to share with the world out there. Average Joe wants to be able to just go to the store and buy a freezer and plug it in the wall, and whenever they want the light, just to turn the light switch on. But in reality, you know, what's that kind of, that's taking a toll on not just the environment out around, but it's taking a toll on the world as well. Because there's some folks that can't afford that refrigerator or the electricity to run it. We got technologies out there where we can build things that would benefit people in all different nations and all different cultures. You know, I'm not saying we got to go and change anybody's, we need to learn from these people. You see what I'm trying to point out here?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, that's where common sense has to rule the day. You know, common sense dictates that they got an issue over there that they can't seem to resolve, and we got a little bit of information that would help them out. We could give them that information, and heck, they got something that might, information we might need. They probably have a cure for the common cold. You're going out buying cold medicine to support the corporation when these folks have been curing it for years. Oh, just take some of this herb right here. This will work just fine. Barry talked about over 50,000 different deals that you can make out of hemp alone. He even talked about concrete that you could build your house with that's fireproof, and so you don't have all these houses burning down. You see what I'm saying? You know, it's ridiculousness to keep on repeating the same stupidity over and over and complaining because your house is laying in the dirt. You know, it's like that little Three Little Pigs thing. One pig made his house out of sticks, and one made it out of straw, and one made it out of bricks or whatever. And there's even a biblical reference about the guy that built his house on the sand and the one that built his house on the rock or whatever. You see where I'm going with that?
Yes, I do.
Don't build your house out of straw in Tornado Alley. It's not a good idea.
In Kansas.
Yeah.
The Great Plains people built sod houses, and they learned very fast that you only build the walls out of sod so thick. If you get too thick, they don't work right. If you get too thin, they don't work right. But the right thickness, it'll heat up during the day slowly, slowly, but it'll stay cool inside. Then all of a sudden, night comes, the desert and the Great Plains would get cold, but the walls would be warm enough to keep the house comfortable inside.
Yeah.
I mean, they learned real fast. The people in the South learned that the sun rises at a certain angle during the summer, and at another angle that travels across the sky in the summer. So, and winter was different. So, therefore, they built the eaves of the house so that to extend out beyond the house. So that in the summer, when the sun was high, it shaded the side of the house. But in the winter, when the sun was low, it went under the eaves and heated up the walls of the house. I mean, nowadays, you build a house and all the eaves are exactly the same all the way around the house.
Yep.
Back years and years ago, before air conditioning, the eaves on three sides of the house, were no two were exactly the same. They were different angles.
Well, Barry, when you're on your tour of the U.S., go down there to where Patty's living down there in Kansas and build her a geodesic dome made out of hempcrete.
No problem. You know what? On my little tour down there, Ziz, I'm planning on coming seeing you.
Cool.
And I was actually talking to Patty yesterday. She's apparently only about 4 hours away from you. So maybe I can throw some gas in a vehicle and we can go visit Patty. There's a few other people that are really close. Charles Two Dog is close down there, and I plan on spending 4 or 5 days with Annie and then maybe jump on a bus. I've never come to the United States before that area of the States, so if I'm going to do it, I might as well do a little tour and sit on a bus and see some of the country and come up and visit you and spend a couple days with you, and maybe we could boot over and have a barbecue with Patty or something.
Yeah, build her a geodesic dome out of hempcrete.
Then we... Yeah,
she'd have a fireproof, windproof house.
Yeah, that will, yeah. Wait, exactly. There, Patty. That will never mold on you. You know how much mold is in houses and how many problems and respiratory problems are caused by mold in North America? I was doing a study into that, the effects of black mold, how prevalent it is in about 80% of houses that are over 20 years old. It's unbelievable what we're breathing in our houses. Well, you know what? Hempcrete, 500 years from now, the house that you build out of hempcrete will not mold. It is an incredible, incredible fiber. It breathes naturally with the earth. It'll absorb water and release water without affecting the structure of the plant. Incredible what it can do.
Cool.
And two generations, guys, we could have houses that don't burn. Fire departments would be still there, but they'd only be there for emergency, big fires, industrial fires, things that not normal house fires. House fires would become a thing of the past. And we could do that in two generations.
Yeah. Stephen Gibbons posted a link in there, kind of disturbing. He said, Amish farmer goes on trial over homemade health products. See?
The other attack right now on hemp is unbelievable. Look at the governments are pushing harder now against it than they have ever before because they realize how much of a threat it represents to the status quo.
We need to gather together and defend people's heritage, man. We need to gather together and defend the knowledge that is passed down from generation to generation. You know, the governments ain't going to do it, people. The corporations are not going to do it. You're not going to talk about a water engine to somebody who's trying to sell oil. It's not going to happen.
You know, I like what Barry Prince just said a minute ago. People don't think. Common sense, okay? We're talking, that's the main subject right now. It's common sense. Okay, so we're going to make houses out of hempcrete. And instantly, well, look at the jobs you're going to destroy. Well, look at the jobs you're going to actually create because of it.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, we know that our oxygen generating capabilities of this planet are diminishing right now. We know that plankton produces 60% of our oxygen, and we've lost almost 50% of the plankton, and we're deforesting the planet at an incredible rate. It could all come to a stop. We grow massive fields of industrial hemp. You harvest the hemp for building construction materials. After 2 or 3 years, you plant vegetables on that same field, and you will get bigger and faster growing vegetables because of the frequency level of hemp when it's planted into the ground, what it does to enrich the soil, how the root system goes very deep into the earth and will take out just about any pollutant known to man, and this has been proven. It's a win-win-win-win, and it has to be done because our planet is dying, guys.
We've
got to make these changes.
If you started hemp and making it into construction material, you would absolutely destroy tens of thousands of jobs, but for every job you destroyed, you would create two or three more.
Exactly.
I gotta ask Patty a question
shift
real
in society.
Quick, folks.
Exactly. I mean, people that worked in steel mills, they wouldn't need half of them.
I gotta ask Patty a question real quick, folks.
Working in hemp at a much safer job.
And make a stronger product than steel.
Hey, exactly.
Can you imagine that?
Everybody, hold your thoughts for a second.
You destroy 1,000 jobs, you create 3,000 jobs.
All right, hold your thoughts for a second, folks. I'm going to ask Patty a question.
Go ahead, ask Patty.
Patty, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, well, you're a network owner, and I'm a network owner, and we're broadcasting live right now on Shaziz Radio and TCT Radio, and this is such a good conversation. Would you like to go into overdrive and stretch it out a little bit longer?
Works for me. We've got Gerald Whitehorse standing coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern time, so we got plenty of time.
All right, so we'll maybe take it over a half an hour or something like that?
Go for it.
Woohoo!
Yep, I've got my coffee in me.
All right. So
starting to wake up.
So resume. Like you guys are getting a bonus. The Knights of the Round Table staying on for another half an hour or so. All right, good deal. So we got a lot of good ideas out here on the table, and there's a lot of communities out there we should be supporting. We should be supporting the Indian Nations, and we should be supporting the Amish, and any community out there that has alternatives to the system that's basically making a mess of everything. You know, look, if it was up to me, we would have never built nuclear power plants on fault lines. And if it was up to me, we would have never used highly refined radioactive rods to boil water, because there's a lot better ways. There's old 1800s technology. The mercury arc rectifier could have done the same doggone job as a nuclear reactor without all the damage. And if you was worried about mercury poisoning, then we just swap out for one of the several noble gases and utilize that to energize it into the plasma state, heating our water. So with a little bit of high voltage technology and some noble gases, we could literally design those same reactors to not have radioactive rods in them and do the same exact job, working in perfect harmony with nature. So the technology is available. And the only way it's going to get moved forward is to start that wave I talked about earlier, that common sense wave, and getting people to the table and networking like Thomas is always mentioning, and not repeating the mistakes of the past like Raymond's always talking about, and paying attention to guys like Barry that have all kinds of information about different materials that are naturally. Thomas even mentioned kudzu. That's something that people like, you got it growing all over the place, you know? That's another fibers that could be used
directly in the crude oil.
Yeah. So, you know.
And it's a very simple, very, very simple chemical reaction.
And myself and Patty, we put a platform together for people like you to come together and share your ideas and thoughts. You got social media networks out there that you have access to. If you're listening to this show and you like what you're hearing on this show, do us a favor. We're not asking you for donations or your left arm or your right arm or your leg or anything. All we want you to do is tell your friends about some good information that you've been listening to. Spread it out there. Show all your friends, all right? And that way they come over here and they get good ideas and they come to the microphone, they share their ideas on TCT Radio, and jump over there and support them in the chat room. That makes a difference. When you show up and say hi and they know that you're paying attention, that helps out a lot. And, you know, we're going to come up with ideas to where we can actually, make a t-shirt with something that says common sense on it that we're going to use to raise money to help other researchers to try to, support them. We find a good alternative energy researcher that needs some materials. We can use the funds generated by that to give them the money they need to get it done. And this is what I'm talking about. Utilizing all our resources together as a team, as we the people, not under some one world ideology or one world religion or government or whatever, just the average Joe doing what the average Joe normally does whenever things hit the fan. Look at all the disasters in the world. It wasn't the governments that came in and saved the day. It was neighbors. It was people across the street or people across town or people in another state. Do you realize how many things were sent from people all over the world when they heard that Katrina had a disaster?
Private people.
Yeah.
Showed up weeks before FEMA.
You know what made a mess of it? The government came down and tried to control it.
There in less than 24 hours.
If it would have been left to the people, it would have got distributed properly. But once the government showed up on the stage, oh, we got this. We'll make sure everybody gets what they need and stuff. And boy, they just made a mess.
Yes, it is.
And they say your Second Amendment isn't in danger, and that the governments would never be used to come around and round up your doggone your defense weapons or whatever. Tell me what happened in Katrina. They rolled around with the police and the military, and they gathered up for safety purposes. The average Joe, wasn't the guy sitting there hiding in his house trying to protect his family that was causing the problem. It was the knuckleheads out there trying to loot and pillage and take advantage of people's misfortune.
Right.
So, you know, government's got, they say the road to disaster was paved by good intentions. You could talk to your local politician about that, because he promised you a lot of stuff. Well, when I get hired in there, when you elect me, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to fix global warming, man. I'm going to bankrupt the coal industry. Really? Why would you do that? You're going to put them out of a job. If you're worried about the coal industry, find better, cleaner methods by which you could actually utilize that same energy, or pay attention to the guys in the alternative energy community who've been telling you for years, we can do this in perfect harmony with nature, not even have to use the coal for that purpose, but we could use the coal for other purposes.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? You know, do you know what a cubic zirconian's made out of?
Yeah.
What's it made out of?
Zircon.
Okay, well, yeah. You know what happens if you compress coal under extreme amounts of heat and pressure?
Right.
Ah, wait a second. Ah, that looks like a diamond, man.
Actually, a zircon is made out of zirconium metal and oxygen.
Right.
And a diamond's made out of pure carbon with no oxygen.
So we have the capabilities.
Interesting, huh? How those two are completely inverse from each other.
Yeah.
When one's pure, it's actually a solid substance you can't see through. When you add oxygen to it, it becomes clear. The other one, if you extract all the oxygen out of it, it goes from being a gas to being a clearer crystal.
Yeah. But see, what my point is, we have the knowledge to literally synthesize fake diamonds, for Pete's sake. All right? We know how the real ones are made. We can synthesize fake ones. We have the knowledge, the technology to literally talk through piezoelectric crystals and go out all over the web and people be able to hear them on other piezoelectric crystals on the opposite side. We got amazing technology. Like Steve always said, my friend Simply Steve, he's over there in, doggone, where in the heck is he nowadays? He goes all over the place, but he's doing hydroponics over there. Anyway, he says we have the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. And I'm sitting here telling you, and these folks, Patty and Raymond and Barry and Tom, sitting here telling you, we have the answers. We got them. It's right there. The tools, the technology. All we need is the people, the network, and we need you to pass information on down the line. Create a system alongside the cruddy system, and basically, eventually, sometime down the road, they become irrelevant. Government? You remember when they used to have this thing called government? What is that?
You know, Justin said something yesterday on the Mad Side show that if you could do that, they'd already be doing it. No, they wouldn't, because people are lazy. They're going to wait for somebody else to start a business to do it so they can buy one. They don't want to go out and do it themselves.
Well, the alternative...
We need people that are listening to get off their dead duck on that couch. Get off that couch. Go do something.
Well,
I mean, don't wait for the government to do it, because they're going to screw it up.
The option available, the only alternative option available, is let the status quo remain on its path, which is you become the ostrich, you stick your head in the sand, and hopefully somebody will protect your behind while you're in your head in the sand, and then the other rest of you can run around like Chicken Little and holler, the sky is falling. Otherwise, we could build like really heavy-duty structures in case the sky does fall, we can prop it up. Dang, man, come on. I'm crazy, I'm sorry. I must be off my gourd, because what I'm talking about is too much common sense. Somebody just needs to do something about it. Get the guys with the white coats, come pick me and put me in a rubber room, a round circle, and tell me to find the corner. What do you think?
They're on their way, Shaziz.
Go sit in the corner, Shaziz. Well, the room's round. That's not my problem. We're the government. We say you find the corner in this round room or else.
Yeah, okay, to prove exactly your point, when Obama set up a committee to meet with the automotive industry's engineers, they gave them a list of things that they wanted them to incorporate into cars. And the head spokesman for the engineer stood up and said, well, it was a lady that was in charge of Obama's committee. So the head spokesman stood up and said, ma'am, you don't realize that you're asking us to defy the laws of physics. And she stood up very angrily and said, you don't understand. We are the government. We'll change the law.
Yeah, if they can change the laws of physics, I'm hip, because there's a lot of laws of physics I don't like.
Really? To keep us from doing things the simple way.
Look, I'm just saying, I know I sound crazy. I got this big dream, and it's like, you know, so big that I think that we could literally produce a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. I believe that we could literally solve starvation and homelessness and wars and all that kind of stuff, plagues and famine. We could solve it. It's possible. It is doable. And for those folks out there thinking it ain't possible, that's because you're still relying on somebody beside yourself, such as the government and the representation. You know, at least elect Congressman Bongwater, because he tell you like it is. Elect me and I'm going to screw you on taxes. Under my jobs bill, I'm a legalize everything, so there ain't nothing I can be prosecuted for, you know?
Yeah, because he's government.
Yeah. That's the way it works in government.
Well, whenever you have a profit-driven society, which is what we have globally, it does not work. It collapses without profit. It has to continually increase profits to keep up with it. In order to do that, like in your commodities market, they have to create cost. So the way to do that is through shortages. Now, the shortages aren't real. There are warehouses full of food. There are farmers being paid not to grow food.
Yep.
These are things that are put into a profit-driven society that will guarantee that there will always be people without food. There will always be people without water. There will always be people without health care and the ability to live healthy, abundant lives. Because a profit-driven society cannot allow that. It has to have a profit. A non-profit society is just the opposite. Profit has no bearing. Therefore, there's no reason to warehouse food. There's no reason to hold technology. There's no reason to deny knowledge to the people. They can't allow this system. That's why you can't build this system on top of the system that we have now. We can build it right alongside, like you were talking about, Shaziz. That would be the only way. And we just have to reach people and show them how this profit-driven society is causing every issue that they have, and that without this profit-driving system, that they, in turn, would be able to actually live the lives that they want to in health and abundance. You know,
yep.
Technologies that can be created are mind-blowing. You know this, Shaz, as well as everybody on this panel. We've only touched the very tip-top of the innovation in technology that we have running around in our brains, in our garages, you know? Bringing that together would be awesome.
There is so much talent out there available. So, you know, not everybody was given every single gift, and that was a good idea because that means you all have to work together in order to get things done. But by building this system that we're talking about, you can do it not only in a peaceful manner, but you can do it in a manner by which everyone can live comfortably. I mean, you don't need 10 tons of grain per day, you know, so you don't got to stockpile it up forever and a day. If you need it, it's there. That's the kind of system that we're talking about. It's readily available because, like she said, and we mentioned earlier in the show, they pay farmers not to harvest crops, you know, and if there's thing sitting on a store shelf while there's a starving baby sitting in the dirt somewhere, to me that's worse than a shame. That's a tragedy, man. It's a waste. Did you have something, Raymond?
Yeah, I was going to say I agree with Patty completely. A totally non-profit society could not exist. A totally profit society cannot exist, not for any length of time. But if you had two side by side working together, yes, and that's exactly what's going on. The government's profit-driven, okay? There's nothing wrong with making a profit. It's when you get greedy. That's when there's when things go awry. A non-profit society, guess what? You're still going to have people hungry because the ones growing the food are not going to have enough to give away. So they're going to have to make a profit, but maybe it's not financial profit. Maybe it's like trading of food for farm equipment to make your job easier, better, so you can grow even more. Growing more is a profit.
Well, see, there's many
ways to look at profit. Profit is not bad.
I would say what he's saying basically is that profit basically hinders the human reach, because the human reach, human desire is infinite
The universe's resources are finite, so you will always find that humans will consume everything until it's all gone. The only way to overcome that aspect of human nature is to provide so much that they get sick of it. They don't even want to see it.
Exactly.
You treat it like air. Food has to be treated like air. If you talk about a no-profit system and you say, oh, well, you know, humans are never going to overcome that, your first go-to is that they're going to point to people who are on welfare and whatnot, where they don't have to work for the food that they get and whatnot, but they still overconsume. There's still, you know, all these problems with basically them hoarding and, you know, overconsuming. But the problem is that you've only made a sector of society where the material is free. You have not, you still haven't done to it what we do with air. How many people hoard air?
What you have got to do is you got to take into consideration human nature. Like Penny was talking, giving a man a fish and he eats today, teach him how to fish and he'll eat the rest of his life. However, if you give that same man a fish every day for 3 to 5 days, in his mind, in his heart and soul, from that day forward, you owe it to him.
Well, the other thing that I'm pointing out, though, is you're talking about give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach a man a fish, he eats for a lifetime. But if you give a man the ability to fish infinitely amounts of fish, it won't be more than a day before the oceans will be empty of all their fish. Because you have to make it so abundant that it's like air where they don't even think about it. They just go get what they need and they leave it at that because they know there will always be more.
Well,
then you can overcome greed. But until then, you know, profit is the only way to restrain that consumption so we don't destroy our planet.
Right.
Do you know why we have homeless people?
Well, some of them, it's a psychological disorder. They don't want a home because they feel it's controlling them or they've just lost their mind for one reason or another.
Well, that's part of the control system.
Let her finish,
that's
guys.
That's what the control system is creating. We're all sick. This system here does not produce anything of benefit without a cost to the emotional, mental, or physical state that we live. The whole of this planet.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
Let me finish.
When you get done, let's go back to that system, though, okay?
All right.
Talk about that.
Okay, this system, the reason why there are homeless and the reason why there are no jobs and there are no, what we've been through in the last 20 years of the raping of society, the workforce taking everything away from them, is because the governments are moving toward a dependence. They want us dependent. They don't want you feeding homeless anymore. They put spikes so that homeless can't sleep. The purpose of this is to make sure that those homeless get on the government dole, that those homeless people become a part of the system so that they will be enslaved to the system. This has been going on forever and ever. You can't change that in this system. The system is never going to work for the people. This is my opinion from what I see the way this system is created. We have to educate the people. We have to give them knowledge and help them to step out of that system. The whole global economy is based on a system where the governments have control, where the corporations have control. And as we look at the way this world is going, the changes that are being made in governments, we can see clearly that they're going toward this one world government rule, and that there won't be any more sovereignty. There won't be any more freedom to do as you choose and as you want. Every country will be required to produce quotas. Every country will be required to have a certain profit margin for this one world government. This is where we're moving with that, and we can't change that unless we change how we think. We have to reach out to people. The system that is put in front of us was never broken. This system that we're living in has never been broken. It has always worked as it is intended to work, and that is to make sure that control is kept. And the only way to do that is to make people come to you and say, please take care of me. That's why we're in the state we're in.
Yep.
And I'll end right there.
And there's a terminology that they use as a buzzword out there constantly trying to tell you how we're going to fix this, but it always goes back to the same doggone thing. They call it sustainability, and they want to tell you whether you can have solar or wind, and then they want to turn around and tax you for using the same doggone deal. What I'm trying to tell everybody out there, the sustainability, if you pay attention to what nature does, nature's already provided overabundance more than what we could ever utilize if we utilized it in a common sense and a respectful manner to nature. You know, I'm not a tree hugger. I love trees, but I don't go out in there and hug the trees. But what I'm trying to say is that if you're going to stand out there and protest the government, the same government who holds the guns and the power that you handed over to them, then what you need to do is not stand out there and look like an idiot holding a wooden stick and a paper sign saying save the trees. What you should be doing is out there planting a tree. Keep on planting trees. Do like Dublin said, do some guerrilla charity. Run by and give the homeless a sandwich and run off. Who was that masked man that just handed me a sandwich? You know, that kind of jazz. But, you know, trying to blend in what we're talking about with a system that is basically based on a situation where it's continuity of government. We got to keep control of government. Somebody comes out with an alternative energy design, suddenly it's a matter of national security because we might bankrupt the fuel industry or the power company and that kind of jazz. The government ain't never been on your side. It's always been on the government's side, and that's the way it works. But if you, the average Joe, seriously see a problem in this world and want to resolve it, the only way that you're ever going to get it done is to build a system alongside the system that you despise and make it work. Make it work for the people as opposed to against the people. If you see somebody homeless, help them.
And the only way they're going to build that system is to get off the couch.
Yeah, that's it. You know, start that wave we talked about. Send that common sense wave around the globe.
Right. Can we go back to what we were talking about earlier, though, the system itself?
It's a mess.
Can you give me a minute to say something about that, though, now?
Yeah,
okay. I almost forgot because she talked about so many different talking points that eventually my mind was flooded. But it comes right down to one thing. The system that we're using right now is rigged where they can pump as much as they want in or take as much as they want out. That's why every single one of those problems that she mentioned happens. They inflate the money supply, creating inflation, then they blame greedy corporations for raising the price, when in fact the reason they had to raise the price was because they devalued the money that they put into the system. And the people that you're worried about wanting to create a one world government to get this mass control, they already have the control because they make the zeros that you spend. They make them out of thin air, and you let them. If you want to break that system, stop using their money.
That's right. Start your own money.
Start barter. Make your own money that has intrinsic value, something. If you, let's put it this way, okay, if you had dollar bills out there that when you take them to a window and hook two wires to them, you could run your refrigerator or your air conditioner off of? Could you ever make too many of those?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
but you make them out of paper you can't even wipe your behind with because nothing will stick to it. You can make too many of those because nobody wants that in and of itself. They only want what it can buy. And the people who run corporations have evolved to where they know how much of that's available. So they adjust the price of their valuable goods accordingly. The more you put out there, the less value it has. The less you put out there, the more value you have. So yes, they restrain goods in order to drive prices up, but many times they don't even have to do that. They're doing that to basically adjust your attitude because
you have let them slip over the wool over your eyes and put more of that money into circulation. And what did they do with it? The only people that got value from that money that was created fresh and new that had never existed before are the first people who get to use it. Because it still holds the same value that all the other money has. As soon as it goes into the system, it starts diluting it. And then all of the money that's in the system now has less value. But the people who made the money still have the tangible resources, the homes, the iron, the gunpowder, the tanks and the bombs that they bought with it when they initially put it into the system. So now all of that stuff is going up in value, and it has intrinsic capability. You got to stop using their system. And we need a system that whoever starts putting something out there, they cannot do what these people are doing now. We need an open and transparent system where we can see every single dollar that's created. You can look online anytime you want and see the tally of how many is available. And there's a mechanism that puts it into place so that when new money is generated, it is because there's more need for the money. And therefore, the cost of anything that you buy will always remain the exact same when it comes to the increments that you're measuring your money in. Let's say the dollar. It will stay the exact same dollar value. If we had a system where we knew exactly how many dollars that the Federal Reserve made and are made available to the public, and they only ever made the money available when a new consumer entered the market, and they gave that money not to the bank for that person to come and beg for it, but they gave it to the person when they entered the market as their starter capital to enter the system, then the price of a gallon of milk would never change price. Which means that the company that sells the milk, that makes the milk, all these people in line would never have to adjust for the inflation and charge you more for that milk, because they know down the line the money you give them will have less value. So they have to charge you even more, which hikes up and damages the inflationary rate even worse than it already is by just putting extra money into the system. Imagine if you went down there today and you could buy milk at the same price that your grandparents bought it for. You could go to the gas station and buy gas for the same price your grandparents paid for.
You would actually be forcing the person producing the milk to actually gain a profit. They would actually have to grow because your population would grow.
Well, see,
right.
The money would still remain the same.
Right.
And the production would have to grow.
My point is that I'll get off of this whole thing after that, and you guys can talk about whatever you want. My point is, the people who are truly responsible for all of the horrors, all of the problems you see today, are the people who've been manipulating the money supply, because they have been given the keys over who gets to put how many zeros into that system, and we've got to take that back.
Yeah, and then the Federal Reserve would be a start.
Right, and be careful, because the last two people who tried to talk about anything, the Federal Reserve got shot, and they were both presidents. One got killed. The other one, if it weren't for his Secret Serviceman dying, he'd be dead too from it.
Yep.
Well, we need.
They're going to very jealously guard that secret.
That's got any knowledge at all knows which two presidents are actually three, because one of them was trying to kill him. Actually, three presidents, two killed and one attempted killing, assassination. It was exactly for that reason.
Well, we need in our system, we need Thomas as Minister of Finance and Raymond as Minister of Business. And I'll be the Minister of Peace, man. Because I just want everybody to get along. All right.
And I think Patty ought to be Minister of Common Sense.
Yeah, there you go. And Barry's going to be Minister of Resource.
Exactly.
All right, look. Folks, what we're trying to point out to you, look, right now, don't try to go over and tackle the beast, because the beast is already out of control. What we're talking about is build yourselves networks in your communities and spread that wave of common sense around. And when people see the benefits that's coming up out of there, you got farmers starting to barter with each other again, and they're not taking everything to the market. They're helping their community out and making sure everybody's provided for. And you work that way long enough, then generations down the line will have that information in their head. They'll have knowledge of alternatives available to them, and they'll know whether or not they want to go play the money game with the bankers and all that kind of jazz. Look, we got technologies right now that are so incredible, we could literally build perfect generating systems that would provide the luxuries that we all enjoy, air conditioning and heating and fresh water. I don't see no reason why everybody in this world should be able to not be able to go up and get a clean glass of water when they get thirsty. I don't see no reason why anybody shouldn't be able to get food, because I've watched here in my own home country, and it breaks my heart when I see people throw tons of food in the garbage. Ain't no sense in all that. You got some mathematicians out there that could calculate up how many people would probably come through that door and be able to put that down to the specific amount of food that you cook per hour and be able to not have any waste at the end. We got that capability. We got the processing power in the computers right now to literally build only what we need, take away from nature only what we need, and put back to nature everything that we've taken all the way down along the line. It's possible. I'm telling you, it is. We got all the technology available to do so. And instead of tearing everything up and wasting it and throwing trash out the window when you're driving down the road, man, there's materials out there that instead of having to have, you know, systems to dig up more, you look at all the plastic. That's a prime example. Tons of plastic floating around in the ocean when you can recycle every last ounce of that into multiple different uses. I mean, tools, dishes, fuel, everything.
Building bricks for houses.
Yeah.
I was not talking about that for almost a year now, about all the plastic that's getting thrown away, and we're going to try. We don't know if we're going to succeed, but we're going to try to set up different recycling plastic stations and actually take all this plastic, turn it into Thomas, what's the word for the stuff we use in the 3D printers?
The filament?
Yeah.
Turn it into filament. We know where to get the machines to do that, and we just really need to set up some collection stations.
Well, on that note,
actually put a value on it so where people would get paid.
On that note, if you build a network in your community, everybody out there who drinks plastic bottles, drinks out of plastic bottles, here recently, I've been saving up the lids off of there, because if you look at the lids on a plastic bottle, you got different colors of plastic material that's already ready to go. Regrind that and you can reuse that, but nonetheless, there's a resource right there. If you had your community just collecting the caps off of the bottles, not to mention what you could actually do with the bottles themselves. You know, there's a trash company in my neighborhood. All right, it's not too far away from where I'm at. And one time in history, when I was younger, if you drove past this thing, man, it stunk so bad. It was just ridiculous. I mean, it smelled awful. Flies everywhere, and it was just disgusting. You didn't want to drive past this place. But somehow or another, somebody wise enough to realize that they could get people to pay them to take away their garbage, then they could take around these machines that they just built, and they could literally recycle that garbage into all kinds of stuff, and not only get paid for taking the garbage away, but get paid for recycling the garbage, so they're getting paid twice for the same job. Now if you go past that same exact place, and you look up at the landscaping work down there, not only are their trash trucks perfectly clean because they maintain them and take real good care of them, but the land is beautiful. I mean, it looks like a park. You'd almost want to take your kids up there. You know, if you didn't know it was a dump, you might. But the whole point of the thing is, utilizing all the resources that somebody else considered to be garbage, these guys made a killing off of buying and selling trash.
There's an old saying that describes exactly what you just said. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah. So, you know, here we go, man. We're putting out tons and tons of ideas for you. We're sending out the call for somebody first off to grease Raymond's chair. But we're sending out the call. Scream. We're sending out the call. Everybody, start a wave, all right? Start a wave on your network. I start a wave on my network. We can get them to do it at the ball game. Why can't we get them to do it in the world? And sending out to the average Joe, send a wave of common sense and love and peace and hope and knowledge around the world. And tell them, if you don't want to come here to Shaziz Radio because you think my hair is all jacked up and you don't like looking at somebody look like that, then go over to Patty. She's got nice hair. She got a good radio show, and she got a lot of good people on there that do a lot of wonderful things. You know, and there's tons of other networks. The whole idea is to get everybody together, come to the microphone, share your ideas, share your resources, work with one another hand in hand, and do what it takes to literally build the system that we're talking about. You see what I mean? Am I wrong? Yep.
No, you're absolutely 100% correct on that. Absolutely. You know, I got an idea. Thomas, you and I need to get together and design a compressor. Not air compressor, but a compressor. You remember years and years ago there was a big deal about recycling aluminum beer cans and soda pop cans, and they made these can crushers that were hand operated. Why don't we design something that will crush water bottles, hand operated, right? And then have people collect them, you know, the water bottles, don't throw them away, they put them in the garbage can, and then call the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts can run around, collect them up, and then bring them to us, and we'll pay them a little something for the plastic, then turn that into 3D printer filament.
Back during the time when recycling was cool, I saw this, I wish I would have took a picture of it, but this guy put together this machine where you go up there and you put a quarter in the machine and you put a old soda can in the machine. And this machine literally smashed this doggone can up and I don't know whether melted it or whatever, but when it was all said and done, when it went through its whole entire process, a nifty little token popped out of the bottom. That's brilliant.
Yes.
So not only did he make money, but he recycled. Gave him back something of value. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the kind of genius that we need to encourage in this world.
Right. I love it.
And if you got, like, Jermaine. Man, Jermaine's awesome. He's going to school still. The kid, he's got all kinds of mechanical knowledge, and you should see his craftsmanship that he does with forming metal and stuff like that, and him and his dad work on old historical tractors and stuff. You find those kids and you encourage them, and you encourage them to teach their friends about that kind of stuff, and that's how you're going to get people interested down the line, all right? And, man, I'm telling you, I say that I believe in the dream, all right? And when I talk about that dream, it sounds like it's so impossible because the world is in such a mess. And it didn't get that way overnight, and it's not going to be cleaned up overnight. But if we started now, you know, that dream could become a reality, as we are the founding fathers, the mothers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, whatever, of our children and our children's children's future. And what we do today will definitely define the world that they live in tomorrow. I personally want to leave them something cool, all right? And if somewhere down along the line they look back at these old podcasts and hear these people on here talking common sense, and they have a little bit of pride in their heart because we spoke the right words at the right time and got people motivated, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Yes, it would.
Well, that's the goal here at ShazizRadio.com. Jump over there to the superchat.html. You get to talk to three separate chat rooms, one of being TCT Radio. And there's a lot of wonderful, loving souls over there as well. A lot of brilliant information. We got awesome people in the chat rooms putting links and information and stuff out there. And some people say, well, you know, talking about it don't never get it done. No, but talking about it does get people motivated enough to at least listen and try to work some alternative into the mess that we're all having to deal with. Someday, my grandchildren are going to grow up. I want that someday for them to be able to maybe watch some TV or something that doesn't have an advertisement on there with a little starving baby with flies buzzing around him while he's laying in the dirt. I showed a picture of a baby that was in such state of ill health that it ripped so deep into my soul. And in this picture, this lady's sitting there and she's feeding this baby some water. And then it shows in the same picture, side by side, that same baby a year or so later. Folks, that is the true miracle. That's what you're capable of. And all we're asking is for you to try, because the alternative sucks.
we have a choice.
Yeah, I think the more that we outreach, you know, a lot of people, we come on the internet and we talk to each other and we talk across the internet, and it's a great, great forum. Nowhere can you find the technology that will allow you to talk to so many people globally at one time. So the internet is one of our best tools. But we have communities that we live in that they don't get the right information. Their lives are filled with other matters, and perhaps they've never even seen the information that we're putting out here today. But they live right next door. The guy lives in the house right next to me, and I've never talked to him. Why is that? Maybe if I went over there and started talking to them and broached the subject about, did you know that we could get together, the people in our neighborhood here, and we could use the unused land that we have and grow some organic food for our families? Did you know that maybe we can get together and put some different parts together, because you can build a windmill from spare parts, and we could produce energy for our homes if we all got together? Perhaps there's a construction worker there who you can discuss how could we go about making the plans up for a 3D printer so that we can print create some bricks for new housing, you know, for repairs. All of these different things. That's what our community, what a source of information and knowledge we have just in a small community. And
I've been working on 3D printing technology that will eventually be able to replace the farmers and completely separate us from all of that if necessary. I mean, I wouldn't say do it on purpose, but being able to print in the first, in the second or third generation, proteins, starches, sugars. By the fifth to seventh generation, you'll literally, and the computer technology to control it, you'll be able to put an apple in a chamber, rip it apart atom by atom, layer by layer, and then recreate that atom out of any atoms you can pick up. They could be made out of leaves, car tires, wood planks, whatever, and print out duplicates of that apple all day long. Medicine, right. The same way. Medicine, the exact same way. In fact, it'll be one of the first molecular printer generations of the molecular printers that can produce those simple food components like the proteins and the starches and whatnot. Those will be able to actually print out medicine so that nobody will be without.
Exactly. This is the Star Trek technology that we used to watch on the TV. It's amazing. It's amazing, yes. It opens up a whole new world of innovation, of ways of replacing obsolete systems and stuff. And the fact that there are, I was going to tell you guys, I can't find the link. I was trying to find it. I'll get it, though. You can maybe do a search. There is a community, movement that is opening up shops in just about every state, and some in several cities within the state. These shops consist of woodworking equipment, metalworking equipment, 3D printers, computer system setups, and everything. $25 a month will let you go in and use any of that equipment, so you don't have to purchase it. Go in, use any of this equipment for $25 a month. On $25 a month, I think that you get 24-hour access so that you could go there at any time. This is a great deal. What if we started creating little communities with these areas, you know? Well, Wouldn't that be great?
That would be brilliant. That's exactly what we need. Look, folks, we got... We got the tools.
Hey, Shaziz, tell them, man. We've been talking about doing that.
Yeah, we got the tools.
Voxelblock.com/page2.html. Outline is right there.
We got the tools. We got the technology. We got the willpower. And all we need is the manpower and the womanpower. You know, look, folks, we're down to it. And, you know, We actually kind of went over here, but nonetheless, don't let these ideas just go by the wayside. Pass these information around to people. Rebroadcast it or something. I get a little emotional on these shows because when you listen to my friend Barry talk and you listen to Thomas and Raymond and Patty and all the people that we talk to, and we look out, we see the news and the alternative news, and we see the world and the state of affairs that it's in. Stephen Gibbons and all the people that show up in the chat room, man, when you listen to all them and you see that there's options available out there and somebody's still showing you a video about some baby you need somewhere or some children in some war-torn zones, and you always hear them say, we got to save the children, we got to save the planet, but they're always saying it. I'm saying, stop saying it and do it. You've got everything that you need. You know, I'll dedicate my time to giving you as many ideas as I can possibly do. I'll keep this platform going as long as I possibly can. I open the microphone up for you. If you got an idea that people need to hear, jump on here and say it. Put it out there, because the dream is possible. It's an overwhelming task, I'll give you that. But it's not impossible until you give up. See, Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Because if you think you can't, you're not going to try. If you think you can, anything's possible. So with that said, it's time to go around and give everybody their last word. Who wants to go first? Anybody? Words of wisdom?
I vote for Patty.
Patty? Ladies first.
I second the motion.
Hey, guys, sticking the new guy out on the limb, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. we're just going to throw you under the bus.
Yeah. You know what, Shaziz, I have to say thank you, because this is the type of conversations that need to be going on Internet radio stations. This is the type of information that empowers people. This is the type of information that inspires people, and the panel that you bring together, how brilliant everyone here is. I'm just in awe, and I thank you for letting me join. I have really, really enjoyed this, and one day I'm going to wake up early enough to actually make it on time.
As long as it ain't daylight savings time. All right, well, you're more than welcome, Patty. That's what it's all about, is bringing the brilliant minds to the table, bringing the good hearts and the good souls with the good ideas and the love for their fellow man and woman out there. Look, let's take care of each other, because that's what other choice we got, man. Who's going next?
We don't really have a choice right now, do we? But what we're talking about, folks, is a paradigm shift in thinking worldwide. I believe the human race really must rally against one issue in my life, and I see that, the destruction of our planet. Really, what else is more important? Wars will be there, nations will rise and nations will fall, governments will come and governments will go. But if we don't have a planet that can sustain life, what really do we have? And going forward, what kind of a legacy are we leaving for our children? What kind of a pile of poop do they have to deal with? Well, I can't even begin to wrap my mind around the problems that our generation coming up, our next generation, are going to have to deal with. I'm inspired when I see young people getting involved. I think you're going to see more and more young people now becoming involved in issues that are going in our world, because they're starting to identify the potential for disaster in the future. I really honestly feel that what we're talking about today, the free energy that we talk about, communal living, grassroots movements starting all over the world, is the way we're going to buck the system that's killing us all. And we really need to bring hemp back into our planet, guys, worldwide. I urge people, really urge you, to go out and do a historical study on cannabis and find out how it was used in the United States of America and Canada right up to the 1920s, when it was demonized and taken away from us. It'll absolutely astound you how much of an intricate part of our society cannabis has been for thousands and thousands of years, and it's only in the last 70 or 80 years that it's been really taken away from society. We need to bring it back. It can literally heal this planet from the inside out, and I honestly believe that, if we bring it back widespread, it could answer so many of our problems. And it just goes with everything else that we're talking about, solutions to problems. We are seeing unbelievable problems now, and we do have the solutions, guys. But we need to implement them soon. I feel an urgency when I say that, because I look at what's happening to our planet and how fast it's dying, and it tears me apart.
I agree.
Thanks for having me in, Shizzes. Thanks for having me in, guys.
You're more than welcome, man. It's an honor to be sitting here talking to you, all of you. Look, this is our boat we're living in. And we poke holes in it, and the boat goes down. It's all hands on ship. When we go over the cliff into the great abyss, there ain't no return from that. So with that said, Raymond, you got any words of wisdom?
One thing. One only. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised how much treasure you can find in the trash.
Oh, Lord, yes.
I'm a dumpster diver from way back, Jack.
You're the burger. I'll go in that sucker head first.
Yep. Do a half gainer off the side.
Uh-huh.
What about you, Thomas? Any words of wisdom?
We covered a lot of it already. I think those communal sites, though, for people to get together and actually work together, that's the next generation beyond what we're doing right now, where we're just talking together. You start physically sitting down and working together, and they need to have a place for people to come and visit from long distances away, too.
Yeah,
you take a vacation. Instead of going to the Bahamas for 2 weeks, you go hang out at one of these places because it has a little apartment complex there where you can come and work with machining tools and if you look at the plan that I laid out on that page, it includes agricultural development, too.
Well, it's brilliant, and I would love to do a live stream from such a community place like that to tell everybody else what they're missing out on. Come on over and take a look at it. You know how many people has walked up to me and said, "Yo, I got this brilliant idea. I could get rich. I could do this," you know, and they come across with this idea, and whether it has any flaws or not, you know, they had this idea. And wouldn't it be nice if you gather a bunch of people together that could make their dream a reality? You see what I'm saying? Imagine what we could do with all the tools working together. I say a house isn't built by just the plumber or the roofer or the drywall hanger or the man who does the floor, the framing, or the painter, or any of that. A house is a whole bunch of people that come together and make a place where somebody's going to spend the rest of their life living with their family and having all the wonderful get-togethers like you do. Just think about that.
I think you just described a home, not a house.
Yeah, that's how...
The building that people live in, a home, is a family.
That's how those things are created. People come together and they make them. They make it a reality. And I'm telling you, we can build homes for everybody. We can feed everybody. We have that technology. If we got the will, we're sitting here, we're talking to you about it, and we're sharing all these ideas and links. It is possible. We got, like I said, the solutions are on the table. Now what we need to do is bring our community, our family, our brothers and sisters around the world to the table and feed them. Feed them the knowledge and the information and the love necessary to make this world a better place, and we will see the dream come true. It's as simple as that.
The way is motion, correct?
Yeah.
It's physical motion. We have the ideas. Now it's time we put them into motion, into a wave. And let the wave cross the world.
Well, I talked about throwing them one positive pebble at a time out there. Now, you can imagine what kind of wave could be created if everybody went out and threw a positive pebble into the pond.
Tsunami.
There you go. So, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope we put a smile on your face. And I hope that you take the time to share this on your social media networks, rebroadcast it or whatever. Make sure somebody else hears it, you know? If it benefited you, it can benefit somebody else. And that's what we do here. That's why TCT Radio is in existence. That's why Shaziz Radio is in existence. That's why all these other networks are doing what it is that they're doing. Because we care. It's as simple as that. I want my grandchildren to grow up in a wonderful world, and I can visualize a wonderful future. We literally have the power to bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. Sounds like a big, tall order. Might sound like you ain't never going to be able to get everybody to agree, but if you at least get them nudged in the right direction, think about how next year is going to look a little bit better whenever all of us is sitting around in these communities. We talked about building things and making sure that people got what they need.
Yep.
That's all we want.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We use routines to call the scenes to put quite impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Always looking to serve the terrible and the knights of the round table.